participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left would be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Everywhere it's Christmas. Everywhere it's home. London.
Hey! Oh! And New York.
Turkey, Hong Kong. Oh, everywhere it's Christmas.
And I'm off to join the charm.
Everywhere is Christmas.
At the end of every year.
Oh, everywhere is Christmas. At the end of every year.
This is the only live worldwide talk presentation. We are being seen in well over 150 countries tonight, watching the real Santa Claus with a bunch of wonderful kids. We're sorry about our system failure on phone calls. And by next year, we'll have it straightened out. Okay, the young man here, right here with the multicolored shirt.
My name is Wendell. What would happen if your reindeer gets sick?
The reindeer gets sick? Well, good question, Wendy, baby.
We just can't afford that. There just can't be any sick reindeer.
Okay, you get it. It happens.
Well, I suppose it can, but we just have to nurse them through the best
we can. You've never had that. You've never had a sick reindeer.
Well, I've heard when we got back that things were in pretty bad shape.
But they always fly, right?
They always get the job done.
Okay, this gentleman here in the green sweater.
My name is Taylor, and...
Your name is Taylor, and her name is Taylor. And your name is Taylor.
What if you're sick?
What if I'm sick?
Ah.
Well, I tell you, there have been times when I really didn't feel the really right up snuff, and I had to get Mrs. Claus to let her know that things weren't right, and we had to change what I was eating, whether it was soup or, you know, staying away from the real food and things of that sort.
Do you have a doctor?
Like fat stuff.
Do you have
a
doctor?
That's right. Leave off the fat
stuff.
The cholesterol.
Stay away from the greasy. You're right.
Yep. Yeah.
Do you have a doctor? Pretty much. You take antibiotics?
Well, no, I don't take antibiotics. I don't need them. I'm in good shape.
Okay, well, we worry about you.
Oh, I'm glad you... Well, thank you very much.
This young man right here.
Do you know what I want for Christmas?
What do you want for Christmas? Quick.
Policeman uniform.
You got it.
Thank you for listening. I'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas and a wonderful New Year.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll free, at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you. Stop, Don, the rock. Stop on the run. Stop on the run. Can't stop the run. Stop
on the run. Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Stop on the run.
Who slipped the high hard one? Oh, my.
To Miss Bobby last night.
Oh.
Yeah, he did.
That's right. It was good. Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. Hey, Brenna, thanks for a great party and all the ships at sea. Yeah. Better watch out, because Don and Mike are going to give away a Mercedes today, and it's only on the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, boy.
Thank you, Robbie. Yeah. Hello, and thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike Show, new episode, final episode of the year.
Yeah.
On this Friday, December 14th. Starting here, we're going to be over at the farm place in just a moment. A slightly truncated show. We do thank you for listening today. Nonetheless, here's your numbers for instant access anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. D.C. Oh, my God, do we love Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Do we love the good people of Washington, D.C. Tell you why in a second. 202-432-1067. And New York, much love for you, too, at 877-692-1027. There is our friend in the next room. Never let it be said that a velour shirt and a sport jacket
Thank you.
Have gone out of style.
Not with Buzz.
There he is. Radio's guy friendly. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike. Thanks for the shirt, Don.
So, is that the shirt? Is that the shirt I got you?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a Versace, don't you know?
Here I am, busting his balls at the shirt I got
the
him.
Gift you gave him.
I thought you would have regifted it, Buzz.
No, not yet.
No. Not yet. All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. Just a little mini show here. Talk about Osama and Winona and the Christmas party. And then we're going to be heading down the street to the car place where by the time we get there, all 29 winners will be there, including the folks from New York. And
it's the phone place with a car there.
Yeah, all the 29 people will be there, and somebody wins a Mercedes-Benz today. But we do have to start today's show with a big thank you for the people of Washington, D.C.
Oh, you did it for us again.
Some might call it a Christmas miracle, and I say it's not a Christmas miracle. You know what it is?
What?
It is simply the most loyal radio audience in America.
It is indeed, and you're making us look good, folks, and we are so appreciative, especially this time of year.
Well, we got our monthly ratings in, and once again, you're helping us make radio history.
Cool.
Because we're edging closer to the top.
Yeah, we're really, you know, we're very excited about the potential for getting number one ratings in three times of the day in one city, which doesn't happen very often.
We've been number one in the morning drive,
right.
And then we have been number one in the afternoon drive, and then we moved to the middays. And when we started, we had a three. What we inherited from the German guy was a 3.7, okay? So in the overall ratings, you guys have now turned that into a 4.9 share.
That is delightful.
Nice. That's good, but that's just the tip of the iceberg. Let's go to men aged 18 plus.
Okay.
Where we were in, we inherited a 5.9 share.
Yes.
And already, you guys have turned that into an 8.5, which is number one.
That's wow. All men over the age of 18. We appreciate all of you.
How about men and women 18 to 34?
Very good.
Had a 7.0. Excuse me, no. Had a 3.8.
Yes.
Turned it into an 8.3.
Bingo. Wow. That's young men and women.
So that would be up to fourth place. Now, keep in mind, but we're going off the ratings we inherited from the old man. And these are all your ratings now. There's no more months that we're sharing with the guy who had preceded us in this time slot.
Sure.
How about that money demographic, adults 25 to 54?
That's
money.
The big one.
What your advertisers crave.
Yes.
Well, you know, we had been handed a 3.9 share, which was 11th place. You guys, in the months of September and October and November, have taken us from 11th place to second place.
In that period of time, that is magnificent.
Wow. A 3.9 to a 5.9. And keep in mind that the station ahead of us has a 6.3.
So it's, as you said to me when I came in today, we're bunching up.
Yeah.
And that is just great news because this has happened so quickly.
Yeah.
It has even exceeded our expectations.
Yeah.
And we have high expectations.
All the naysayers out there said this move will never work. What the hell are Don and Mike doing? Why are they leaving afternoon drive? You know, this midday thing, no one will listen to their type of show in the middays.
You know, we are really coming very close, and that is our goal, of course, to be number one in our time slot. And if that happens, I'm not sure. I'd like to check, but I'd like to check the books here in Washington, D.C. and see if any other show has ever gone to three different time slots achieved number one ratings.
Wow. But it hasn't happened yet.
No, you got to keep working hard for us,
and
we know you are now.
And we do thank you guys so much for listening. These are, you know, these are just the monthly ratings. We'll get the big ratings next month, but all signs, you know, like when who was that guy on the Seinfeld show who had the 8-ball jacket said, all signs point to yes.
Very
Putty.
Good.
That was Putty, right? That was Elaine's boyfriend.
All signs point to yes.
Well, all signs are pointing to yes. And that's the best Christmas present you guys could have given us.
Thank you, thank you, and thank you. We give you three thank yous for each time slot we've
Thank
been.
You so much. Those are great ratings.
You know, I especially like that 2554.
Yeah, that's the one that, you know, is always the one that advertisers look at. It's the one the salespeople, the management. Management. It's the ones that management pays attention to.
So anyway, you guys, you've done great.
Some managers pay attention.
Right.
You've done great for us. Thank you for admitting to the ratings company that you listen. I'm telling you, the next time we come on in about a month when we have the full ratings book, I'm going to tell you, we're going to make ratings history.
Yeah, we're very excited about that. We're, you know, we don't want to get too giddy.
No.
We want you to keep it up. Well, you've kept it up.
Keep it in your pants, but I'm telling you, we're gonna go from worst to first in
one
book.
We can't explain all the details, but the work's already been done.
Wow. Yeah. So thank you, guys. The Arbitrends look great for this show.
Very good.
And I wish good luck to the rest of the disc jockeys.
Yeah, good luck. Very good luck to them.
Good luck. You know, because we want all the shows on the station to succeed. And, okay. So listen. Here we are. And you would think on a great day like this, and last night, you know, we work at many radio stations. We split our time between WJFK in Washington, WNEW New York.
Yeah, we've gotten some great new friends up at WNEW in New York City. We really have a new group of listeners up there that we are delighted with. And,
now, they're not reporting it to the ratings company yet. But
no, they're not. And you know, but I'll tell you, they are not reporting it to the ratings company. But I'll tell you, the feedback we're getting on the phones, the kind of callers we're getting from New York, we talk about it all the time, how delightful it is to interact with the New York audience.
The point is that this has been WJFK in D.C. has been our home for 16 years. I mean, we've been in this market for 16 years. We've worked at the station for 10 years. And last night, we had, frankly, in the 10 years we've worked here, in fact, in the 28 years that I've worked in radio, the absolute, I ask you not, worst Christmas party that a radio station has ever put on.
There was, and it wasn't all about the logistics, although the logistics played a certain part, but what it was about was just the whole feeling in that room last night.
And it starts at the top. And
it
listen,
sucks.
We have to take some of the responsibility.
Yeah, we do, absolutely.
For the fact that the party sucked. Because there is, you know, without getting into detail, I think you know how we feel about Osama bin Laden.
Mm-hmm.
And Osama bin Laden was at the party last night.
And we were at the party last night. And for the first time at any gathering that I can remember socially connected with this radio station, there was no contact.
None.
Between Ken and us. It was a question of we weren't going up to him, and he wasn't coming up to us.
No.
And that's the way it stayed from the very beginning to the very, you know, to the time both of us left.
We got down to the area in Georgetown where the party was, and Frieda said, let me get out of the car here. I'm wearing high heels. I don't want to walk the five blocks to park or whatever. So I said, fine. She gets out. I went to Georgetown Park. I parked the car. I get lost finding the place. This place is a hole in the wall that we were at. I mean, no sign out front.
Right.
It's one of those underground clubs. It was a very nice club.
Nice club. It's just, you know, really, and I don't want to sound like a whiner, but my God, you know, just throw one of these events up out in the burbs.
So,
just once, so we don't have to go through 12 hours of traffic to get downtown.
So I walk into the party, and we were early, and Ken was standing there. There's about five people there. I think Julie was there. I think that, what's her name?
Jessica?
Jessica
Beadle?
Yeah, Jessica Beadle with her new hair color was there. And Ken.
Yay.
Ken standing in the middle of the room talking to my wife. As soon as I walked in the door, man, he did a beeline away from her.
Yeah.
He did an absolute beeline away from her, and I got the vibe right away. I picked up on this vibe. I didn't go into the party with the thought that I'm not going to be social with Ken, that I was at the very least going to say hello and happy holidays. You know, yeah, you know, we're not the best of friends right now because of circumstances, but happy holidays, and not one move by the bastard. And the more the party went on, the more determined I dug my heels in.
I was waiting.
That I was not going to be the one to go over.
Right.
And A, say something to him pleasant, or say something to him, B, more importantly, that was unpleasant.
Mm-hmm. And I think both of us were probably, you know, we commiserated on this when I arrived at the party about what was going on, and kind of agreed that, you know, we're not making the first move here.
No.
And, you know, which is really the way to play it. And I think both of us were probably kind of waiting to see if there was. Well, I know you were a hell of a lot more than me. I was sitting there all night. I hid out in a lot of locations. At one point, I said to my wife, I said, Laura, where's Don? Where's Ken? And Laura comes over to me and goes, they are literally standing back to back. They are literally standing with each other, next to each other, and
I was aware of that.
And no contact, and then no contact for me either. I mean, and I had no contact with Jeremy Coleman last night.
Oh, no, I had a lot of time with Jeremy last night.
I didn't have any.
I had no problem with Jeremy.
At time, you and Ken look like a movie where two people are destined to meet but keep narrowly missing each other. Because you'd spend time back to back, you'd cross like in an X with no eye contact. It was almost a fascinating
like
dynamic.
Ships in the night. I thought the rule was for Jeremy too.
No. This is strictly
Ken.
A corporate thing. Ken.
Okay.
You know, Jeremy's got nothing to do with...
All right, I didn't know that. Hey, Jeremy, sorry I didn't talk to you last night.
No problem with
Jeremy.
I'll
give him a call. Wish him happy holidays.
I'd like to hear that.
Hey, give him my best tonight. Hey, Rob, pass along to Jeremy. I'm sorry I didn't talk to him last night.
You got it. So the party was awkward, to say the least.
It was horribly awkward.
It was apparent because people would go over and talk to Ken.
Oh, man, it's terrible.
And then they would come over, they'd sit down, and I'd be sitting there, and they'd say, have you spoken to Ken yet tonight? And I'd say, no, I haven't spoken to him. Why don't you go speak to him? It's weird. It's a dumb game that's being played. I said, well, then, you know what? Why don't you go back and tell him to come over and speak to me? Well, he didn't ask me to say anything to you. I've just noticed the fact that you guys aren't talking at this party. I mean, it was all night.
It was horrible. It was goofy,
but we got...
It was horrible in that dark basement.
We got in the car to leave.
Sorry. I mean, I know a perfectly legitimate club to go party at, but my God.
You missed the good game that Jim McClure and I were playing.
What's that?
We stood at the front corner of the bar, like, starting pretty early in the evening, and watched everyone come around the corner and got the exact moment that disappointment registered on their face. And it was great. Some people would take a full step, but some people was immediate. Steve Goldstein had it fun, though, because when he turned around the corner, he registered disappointment on our face.
There you go.
But it was a fun game. Too bad you missed it.
So we made an appearance, just brief. And
very brief. As brief as any Christmas party I've ever been to.
We leave, and Frieda says, so what did you think? And I said, well, okay, on one hand, I'm really sad that the party was not good, and I'm afraid that the rift between us and Ken was one reason the party wasn't good, that people knew the rift was going on, is it? But on the other hand, I can't tell you when I've had a better time, because I didn't drink,
right.
I didn't get bombed, I didn't get hosed, I didn't do anything. I just enjoyed the fact that I was there, and you were there,
right.
And he was there. But there was no contact.
It was weird.
There was no contact at all.
It was weird, and we accept 50% of the responsibility for this. We have to. But just strange. Just a strange dynamic. I did not enjoy that. I thought it sucked. I thought the whole, you know, it did damage. In my mind, it did damage. And,
by the end of the night, I was telling people, because I know Kent had people coming over, saying, what's the deal? By the end of the night, I was saying, anything that Ken wants to ever say to me or to Mike, he's going to have to say to our agent. But I believe that the way that this has been played tonight, I think for however long we remain here, we just will never speak to Ken Stephens.
I suppose that's why. And, you know, our agent's been telling us to do that for about 5 years.
We should just stop talking to him.
No contact.
Doesn't mean we can't still come in and do the radio show and have a great time.
Absolutely.
We just don't have to talk to him. And, you know, today's a prime example that normally... When we get good ratings like you guys have been so wonderful to bestow on us today, I would get, you know, at least the obligatory phone call from him, speaker phone call.
Right.
Saying, you know, he never comes out and says, you did great, but he would say something like, you know, be on a speaker phone.
Oh, you don't suck too bad this month.
Something like that, but I didn't even get that.
Right, and, you know, we did greet other members of the management team. I had a nice, hello with Jeff Hedges.
Oh, and Alan was there.
Alan Limon was there with his wife looking lovely, as usual. And, it was...
Yeah, she looks like Carm Soprano.
She's hot. Really pretty.
She's a MILF.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Alan's wife is a total MILF.
And the thing is, it was good to see everybody else. I know Jim McClure, a good friend of the show, heading out to, try his fortune out in California.
Heading out to Oblivion, California.
It was good to see a lot of people.
Heading out to never be heard from again, California.
But I came in and, I guess I should apologize to Bretta because I was bitching very loudly when I got to the party. Like, really, you know, that anger issue that I have was in full force. I was going, what the hell is this? Why another downtown party takes 2 hours? There wasn't any rush hour coming out. There was rush hour going into the city. What the hell is this going on? And then we come into this place that's like some disco where Bretta goes to get lit. Hi, Bretta.
Wow.
And she was like right next to me, and so I apologize for that.
I think Bretta was pretty sensitive about the whole thing last night.
Yeah, at least somebody did something. You know, really. I mean, that's the way I feel about Bretta. Somebody did something.
You know, we weren't even gonna have a party.
Yeah, we weren't even gonna have a party.
Bretta pulled it together.
Bretta, I give you your props for you know, and the
Lady Slim Jim.
There was the service in that place, the people working there were fantastic, and they really were. Even though I was there for just brief.
At one time, Bretta came up to me and I said Merry Christmas, and she says, "Is that supposed to be sarcastic?"
Right.
So I think she was
real sensitive, and it's a guarantee you will never hear me do this again, but I'll apologize to Bretta for that.
Wow.
Because, I mean, I was hot.
I know you got your anger management.
Right.
Get under control.
Mm-hmm.
But, Mike, just think about it. How long is it now? 6 hours until you take your separate vacation.
That's right. Yes,
6 hours until you take your
separate vacation.
Your separate vacation.
That's right.
You.
No, she's meeting me in a couple of days.
But you are going to have some quality time just with your buddies.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, the thing is, the kids are in school now, and so you know, and I've got this vacation, and I wanted to get down to you know, golf and fun and some of the fun, and we decided you know, well before the marriage started to crumble that we were going to, you know, do it this way. And, you know, I will tell you, my bride and I, we had a surprisingly good time spending an awful lot of time, more time at a company Christmas party alone with my wife watching the room because it was such a dynamic than I've had in a long time. And so we had a pretty good time.
Well, as I recall, it's the first time, I think, in 4 years your wife has been...
That she's attended.
...allowed to come to the Christmas party.
You know, stop it, you. Stop it. A lot of people were, you know, it was amazing because there were a lot of people meeting Laura last night that have never met her.
Wow. Yeah, well,
that have worked here for 2 years. Because
listen,
2 years in a row, Laura hasn't been to the Christmas
party. Every year it was, well, 1 year it was...
She's in the trunk.
No. The 1 year was she's sick.
She was. Yeah.
She was sick.
Right.
And then the next year...
I think last year, she... What's that, Rob?
She was sick.
Yeah, she was sick.
Sick, like Dr. Evil with a quotation mark. She was sick.
But, you know, it was like people coming up, like Carl came up to Laura, and Carl... Carl has never met Laura. And I was like, Carl, you've met Laura? No.
No. Yeah. Hello there.
So it was, but you know
what?
Who
is this?
She enjoyed the dynamic, too. She picked right up. Like your wife, she had contact with Ken Stevens.
Yeah.
Had a hug and a hello. Just brief.
Just brief.
And that was it.
Yeah, I drew a short straw briefly because I had been talking with Madonna for a long time, having a great time, and Ken came over. So, you know, but, you know.
So you talked to Ken?
Yeah, but, I mean, he just really came over to, like, bust my balls.
Rob, you're fired. No. You broke the circle of trust.
That's
but
the
once
circle.
You're out,
when did you talk to Ken? After we left?
No. He came up to me and
before.
I.
Before.
No. The unspoken rule, Rob, the circle of trust. Listen, Falker. Are you a pothead? We will take you down.
Grass.
I will bring you down. I will bring you down to Chinatown.
I got out of there as soon as I could.
The unspoken rule was...
I'm a patient man, Spiewak. That's what 18 months in a Vietnamese prison camp will do.
The unspoken rule was, as long as Ken was going to continue the feud, we were going to continue the feud.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unspoken and spoken in some cases.
Yeah.
You and I arranged it.
Yes, we did.
Well, I won't make the same mistake.
Didn't get much of an argument from me on that, did you?
How goofy are we? I've been there about an hour. I said to Mike, he says, what's up with Ken? I said, oh, the bastard. He's talking to Frida. As soon as I walk in, he goes to the corner and hides. He's not said one word. Mike says, what do you think? I said, F him. Don't talk to him. Let's see what happens.
And I, you know, when you said that, I mean, really... No big deal, but I mean, I didn't think it would be long lived.
Well,
usually when you do that, we've had that before. We've had that discussion.
Yeah.
We'll free somebody out there, and then they'll come up to usually both of us when we're standing together. And but last night, no, man,
never
that
happened.
That was the way. Hey, fine, that's,
never
that's,
happened.
That's okay.
And my apologies. I think it got in the way of the. Of the party, because everybody was watching the unspoken feud that was
got
going
out
on.
Of the way of the Thursday night party in downtown Washington.
Right, Club Eggshell.
With every other person having their party in downtown Washington.
Okay. So,
effers.
So happy. Happy holidays.
Good carrot sushi, though.
So how about that, guy?
Sorry, Bretta, I'm doing it again.
Mike,
I'm sorry.
Listen.
I'm sorry. No, I ate
Remember your anger management. Remember,
yeah.
Hours from now... separate vacation.
Yeah.
No problems.
I know.
Have your hors d'oeuvres. Yum, yum.
Just you. Yeah, I'm flying today, too. You know that. So, I mean, I'm just a little freaked out.
Okay. You still have your hurricane.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got your bottle of hurricane for Mr. 40.
I don't want that.
So we, let me recap. We're very, we couldn't be happier. Thank you for the great ratings.
Right.
Let's keep that roll going, folks. Thank you very much.
It's very complicated.
And the Christmas party was, awkward, to say the least.
Thanks to everybody that came, and we had a good time with all our coworkers. There are a lot of people that we know and love here at this radio station, and it was fun to see everybody. And Bretta, you did, you know, nobody else did anything.
Well, got the guilts going for Bretta today.
I was too ragged out when I got there, and I felt bad, you know, as the evening progressed. I talked to Bretta a couple of times, and, you know, I felt, and when you said that she was sensitive about everybody coming in and being disappointed about things, I realized, you know, nobody else did squat, so at least she made the effort, like she's made the effort in the past to you know, have the suite with the disc jockey and stuff like that. But it was it's just a weird evening.
Like
very
Slim
weird.
Jim, you remember last year at the Christmas party, the greatest moment was that last year when things were okay at this radio station, we had an after party.
Right.
It was at a hotel room in a big banquet room.
And last year's when I was on the wagon and I split early, right? So guys went up to the big suite.
So Bretta has a suite where she's going to be spending the night. She organized the whole thing, fancy hotel. And everybody's partying. I mean, people are getting drunk. And at one point, Rob and I ended up somehow in Bretta's bedroom, the room that was supposed to be off limits. Like, you could party in the, it was like a hotel suite. It had like a little living room area, a little sitting area, but the bedroom was supposed to be off limits.
Right.
So Rob and I got in there, and there were this, the wonderful, this classy hotel, they put a chocolate brownie on each of the pillows before you go to bed at night when they turn the beds down.
Very nice.
So what we did was we took the chocolate brownies and very carefully unfolded Bretta's bed sheets and wiped the brownies all over the inside of the sheets, and then very carefully remade the bed.
That's something you really don't do sober very often.
Knowing that Bretta was as drunk as we are.
Right, and would probably just roll into bed and then wake up in the morning thinking that she'd S'd herself.
And
no, she thought her boyfriend had.
She thought her boyfriend had S'd himself in bed.
Is that what happened?
She said she woke up and screamed, and she said, oh my God, look at this. That's the fun you miss.
Yeah.
When you don't have your party at a big type hotel place.
Right, exactly.
You can't put brownies in someone's bed so that she thinks her boyfriend took a dump in the bed. No such great stories from this year's party.
No, unfortunately not. Everybody was home in bed like 9:30 at night. That was about it.
However, I do want to say one person did party hardy. Miss Bobby.
Yeah.
Yeah, Miss Bobby looked at today. I saw her in the elevator.
She came to play.
See, she wasn't being square with me. I knew. I said, what time did you get home? Oh, I think I was home by 8:45.
Oh, bull ass.
Right.
8:45, she and I were playing footsie.
Yeah, I know what time she left. She left at about 9:15 because I walked her to her car.
And Rob, did you get the tongue bath that was promised?
No, you know, just brief. There was a small kiss.
Right.
Because at one point it was Rob and Miss Bobby and I sitting at the bar together, and we were just goofing around, Miss Bobby, saying, when are we going to get our wet kisses? When are you gonna bestow your wet kiss on
your
me?
Your wet boozy kiss.
Your wet boozy kiss on me and Rob. And she was sitting next to Rob, and she said, well, how about now? And then the last I saw was Rob and Miss Bobby walking off.
There you go.
I was working on her on the way to the car, saying, you know, you really should hop on a train and come to the NEW party. And she had ruled it out.
Anybody find out what time it all really broke up? What time?
I know Alan was there. He said till about 10:30.
Okay.
So it could have gone that late.
Wild party.
Well, the invitation said till 11. Yeah. So my guess would be that.
And those people at Modern, is that the name of the place?
Yeah.
The people, the bartenders waiting.
Modern.
They were fantastic.
Very nice.
I know Lisa sure does look banged up today.
Lisa looks like she's had a little evening.
You know,
she claims that she hadn't put her makeup on yet.
Right.
Katie the Dump Pixie had a little bit of evening last night.
She, when I came in,
I have to apologize again. I'm sorry. I found something out last night. Rob was an eyewitness. Rob says he's giving me the heads up about this for a
minute. Oh, no. I was there for this, too, when you called her by the wrong name.
Apparently, I've been calling her Kate Liz
for a while, and I've corrected
like
you on her name.
The better part of a year.
Her name is Katie. She's the pixie who runs our dump butt.
Yeah, right. For some reason, I call her Liz, even though you talk about her all the time on the show, And I don't know where it came from.
That was.
But
no,
she apparently just lets me call her Liz.
That was no big deal in comparison to my favorite Christmas party faux pas, which I also relived last night. Do you remember when Scott the Dwarf brought his wife?
Oh, yes. That
to
was
the party.
Big
at the, I think it was at the Grand Hyatt.
And Scott let me know that I'd made this mistake, too. When Scott brought his wife, Scott the Dwarf brought his wife, who's also a little person, and she came up, and I said, "Hey, Scott, how you doing?" I said, "And this this must be the little woman."
Oh.
And he, I think he said, F
well,
you.
No, that's
right away.
You didn't mean it like
that. No, I didn't mean that at all. No, absolutely.
All right, so that's the lowdown from the party.
Yeah,
party. That's what happened. We got home and
Merry Christmas.
We watched the Osama tape.
Yeah,
you know, like everybody did.
Right.
Bastard. God, I hope we kill him soon. I really do.
Yeah, you know what? Enough with the analysis of this, okay? Enough with the. I am so sick of hearing legal experts talk about this guy. The very concept of even giving this man a fair trial is abhorrent.
No, we need to shoot him in the balls, then
right.
We need to shoot him in the finger, then we need to shoot him in the kneecap.
Word is we have him surrounded, or at least the anti-Taliban forces say they are circling a cave where they believe he's hiding.
That's what I heard. We know the cave, and it's going to take us a day.
I heard any
to break through and to get the bastard.
I heard a Muslim analyst say that anybody who is a true Muslim, that this really is such, you know, when you see this tape, that this is a real perversion of the faith, and that the real practice, the vast majority of practicing Muslims see something like this, and will make them sick, just like it makes people of other faiths. I mean, you know, that he's laughing about it, and you know, talking about how they didn't know what was going on, and you know, it's amazing.
The cave, incidentally, is 14 miles outside Gotham City, and I know that because
it's got a stop sign.
Yeah, it's got the barrier,
a little barricade, and the cave opens up.
When he comes out in the Osama mobile, there's a sign that says Gotham City, 14 miles. But I want to tell you something. When he comes out in the Osama mobile, they just speed up the videotape.
Right.
Right. The car's really not going like 100 miles an hour.
Illusion. Is it turbines to power?
Hold on.
Atomic batteries
to
speed.
Atomic batteries to power. Power to speed.
Turbines to speed.
Ready to roll out.
And then they go.
And they always buckle up.
And he goes turbine flying.
And then you see the big fire and smoke come out of the back of the Osama mobile.
Turbines to power.
So we turbines to power.
Turbines to power.
Camels to speed. So we watch the Osama tape last night. We get home. And then the next thing is, Farina says, "Oh, did you hear about Winona Ryder?"
Yeah, I figured you'd be happy about it.
Who I don't like anyway.
You've never liked her.
You know, dumb anorexic, pale bitch. I've never thought she's talented. I've never thought she's hot. Well, she's arrested for shoplifting in Beverly Hills. And what she's doing is she's going into Saks Fifth Avenue. And not only is she stuffing stuff into her bag.
Right.
But she's trying to rip out, you know, those plastic things they put in clothes?
Yeah, the security detectors. They're little sensors that go off when you walk through a store that say you're shoplifting.
She's busting them off the clothes.
I mean, incredible.
And
when I heard shoplifting, you know how somebody like throws something in a bag or something? You hear $5,000 worth of merchandise.
I, for one, I can't wait to see the video. I'm sure that the tape, the surveillance tape, because they said that they've got her on tape. It's going to be on Entertainment Tonight any day.
And then, of course, a purse filled with prescription medications without a prescription.
Yeah, she just didn't have the prescription on her.
Right. She couldn't make it on time.
That's right. She just couldn't make it on time.
She says it's all a misunderstanding.
Yeah, I saw her attorney on TV today. Good luck to him. I'm sure that this will all be handled.
Mm-hmm.
I'm positive. Before we check in at the car dealership, let's see who's on the telephone. Or rather, it's not the car dealership. We're going to go to Simply Wireless, where the car is there.
Right.
We're going to give away the Mercedes today. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike!
Yeah.
Hey, brothers! Listen, I just wanted to thank you for the greatest year of broadcasting ever. This is Scott, the Helen Keller guy.
Oh, Scott, the Helen Keller guy. Hi, Scott.
Very good.
Hey, listen, thanks so much. And, you know, a very Merry Christmas to you and yours, and Happy New Year. And when are you coming back? The second?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I know everybody bitches about our vacations.
Right.
But you should know this, that we were scheduled to be off this week.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But because we had the problem with our contract in the summer, we're working now, and normally, even if we had taken this week off, we probably would have taken most of the first week of January off.
Absolutely.
Well, but, no, we're not doing that. We will be back at work on January 2nd.
That's awesome.
That is the
hey,
first
John
day
Mike,
back.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You guys are the greatest.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alan Keller, man.
Thank you, Alan Keller, man. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Good afternoon, fellas.
Hey, buddy, or good morning, whatever.
Congratulations on your ratings.
No, listen, thank you guys.
Mm-hmm.
No, congratulations to us. Congratulations to you guys.
Yeah, that's why when we always say keep the good work going.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Very good.
He being as the African-American male for the population of D.C., I want to congratulate you most definitely because on the Metro Rail, I saw the promos for you guys and everybody else on the network of the stations.
Yeah, we finally, well, you know why? Because Mel bought an advertising company.
Oh, that's right.
You know, we've had a rule at Infinity Broadcasting the whole 10 years we've worked there that there's no need to advertise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what are we advertised on?
We're on bus sides and Metro.
Metro Rail.
Really?
Where, here?
On
Metro, yes.
Here in D.C.
How long?
Because
I just started. I designed
it. Started because, like in the morning time, I saw it. It had Big Bird in the beginning.
God, I hate being out of the loop.
God damn it, I hate being out of the loop.
Then, why? And then as you guys, a new time spot, then O&A, new to the show than the Sports Junkies and the big WJFK logo on the bottom.
People don't tell me dick at this radio station. I would
why
love
do you
to,
need
know.
To know.
I'd love to know that. I'd love to know.
I was very surprised. I told everybody about you guys, and then everybody said, well, where are they at? They changed the time
can
slot.
Can I tell you something? I really didn't know they were up yet.
Oh, you didn't?
Are they yellow?
Yeah, the yellow and kind of like pinkish and yellow.
They have pictures?
No pictures.
No, absolutely not. It just has our name and says new time slot.
Oh, really? We get our own or,
I think that there's, we're sharing one with O&A.
Everybody, yeah.
We're sharing one with O&A that says new show for them and new time slot for
Very
us.
Very good. Uh-huh.
And then there's one with everybody and then I managed to finagle a couple for you and me.
Excellent. Look forward to seeing them. I really will.
Yeah, it'll be the first time ever. But the only reason we got the advertising is that Mel bought the company.
He owns the company.
He owns the company. And
Remington Microscreen.
They had some bus boards and some Subway stuff that they hadn't sold.
Fantastic.
So we got some of the leftovers.
I like that.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, this is Mitch, crane operator at the Springfield Mixing Bowl.
Hey, how are you?
All righty, I just want you guys to know you keep me going. I have the most boringest job in the world. Pays great, but goddamn it, it's boring.
Boy, that's true. And, of course, everybody wants you to work fast, I guess.
Yeah, I can't do nothing about it.
Get that finished. Come on.
That's it. I just do what I'm told to do. They say, hey, we need an operator over here. I go crane to crane. But I tell you what, you guys rule.
Well, that's good. And, it's a great tradition at the Springfield Mixing Bowl of Construction that has been going on, I think, since the late 1890s.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Thank you for the call. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, I wanted to talk to Mike about his rage problem.
My rage problem? Well, I don't...
It's not a rage problem.
I have the technical name for it, sir. What it is called is a frustration tolerance problem.
Right, well...
FTP.
Regardless of what label you put on it, I mean, it's still like a... anger management problem.
I would say that that might be somewhat accurate.
What's
your point?
I work in a company, and one of the things we do, I'm a video producer, and we produce a series of tapes on anger management called Cage Your Rage.
You just raise your hand when you want me to hang up on this guy.
Yeah, I'm intrigued so far. Cage Your Rage.
Right. Really? And that gives you all sorts of tips on how to manage your anger.
Yeah, what's your point? What's your point?
Well, it's actually for, they could send you a copy, but
go
it's
ahead.
For
send them to me. I don't give an ass.
Okay.
Send them.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, I don't want to need a whole bio. If you want a commercial, buy an advertising schedule. Send them along. Love to look at them.
All right.
And Merry Christmas.
All right, thanks. You too. Great show, you guys.
All right, goodbye.
Goodbye. Hey, good. You didn't even raise your hand to have that guy get hung up.
No. He's wonderful. He meant well.
Let's go live now to.
You want a commercial? Buy an advertising schedule.
Hold on. How come I'm hearing delay there? Let's go live to the Simply Wireless place.
Simply Wireless, where there should be a car down there.
Hello, come in, Rummy, Remington Steel,
Rummy.
Now, Robbie, we were checking this line before the show, right?
What?
It worked through the music, though.
What?
La, la. I heard the line.
I don't know what channel it's on.
What do you mean, what channel it's on? Oh, you mean what BTS channel it's on? Hold on.
BFD?
Hold on, wait. Hold on.
We'll get it straight. And we're heading down there in a few minutes.
Yes, right? I mean, immediately we are. It's just right down the street.
Right.
Are you calling her?
Yeah. Well, I'm calling Mike the engineer to
I'm
find
calling
out.
Lisa.
Hello?
Hey, Rummy.
Yeah, I was talking in the microphone. You can hear me?
No, what's the BTS channel?
What's the BCS channel?
What's the frequency?
Kenneth?
What is it?
Got it.
Oh.
All right, thank you, Mike.
Well, you didn't need me then.
All right, we got it.
Hold on. Well, turn on the microphone.
We always need you.
Turn on the microphone.
Hello?
Ah, there you go.
I'm hanging up.
Okay, hang up. Bye.
Hello?
Oh, there she is now.
Hi, can you hear us, Lisa?
Yes. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
Here she is.
Hello.
Remington Steele live at the Simply Wireless location in Toothless, Fairfax, Virginia. Is the car there?
Yes, the car is here. The car is beautiful.
Mm. Now, of course, whoever wins the car, they'll have their choice of color.
All our contestants down there?
Yeah, pretty much everybody's here. The people are on their way from the train station from New York. They should be in about 10, 15 minutes.
10 or 15 minutes. All right, well, you know what? This is going to work out perfectly because I think the first five or six winners that we had were actually from the D.C. Metro.
Very good.
And the way this is going to work is the people will get the chance to start the car based on the order in which they won their tickets.
Very exciting. And, boy, we've been talking about this for
keys.
We've been talking about this for so long. I'm very excited about it.
It's finally going to happen. All right, Remington. Hey, did you have a good time last night?
I had a great time.
How come you're wearing a baseball hat today?
What are you talking about?
Well, you hardly ever wear a baseball hat. It's like something that, well, guys do when they're banged up and they're
guys
not...
Guys do it like on Saturday and Sundays.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I just, you know, thought maybe I should wear a hat today. It's raining outside.
Ah, okay.
Well, yeah, we understand.
Mm-hmm.
Who was more banged up last night, you or the Pixie?
I was not drunk.
All right, then let me rephrase it. How banged up was the Pixie?
She was wasted.
When I came in today, she was just laying on the floor in the office, just laying on the floor saying, oh, and I said, how late were you out? And she said, 9 o'clock. she was totally bombed by 9 o'clock last night.
Way to go, Liz.
Her name is Kate, Katie.
I still like calling her Liz, though.
Hi, Joe.
Kate apparently has been visiting the bathroom today.
Oh, dear.
to get sick. But that might not be the alcohol, because I met her boyfriend last night, so it might be the morning sicknesses.
Or am I her boyfriend?
That's right.
You know what I got from Kate this morning? I said good morning. She said too loud.
too loud. All right, so Rummy.
Yeah.
Hey, Rum. What we're going to do is... Boy, I hate that delay. Can you hear that delay, the sound there?
Very loud.
What we're going to do is get in our automobiles and come down there. And by the time the commercials are over,
right,
we'll be there. And you'll have the people lined up ready to start the car?
Yeah, we'll be ready.
Listen to her. Listen to her.
Sounds a little weak.
All right, we'll see you shortly, Remington.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Lisa. There she is, our producer. Great she is. Number one producer, Lisa Herndon.
Very good job.
Yeah.
That girl just cannot stop at a party. She can't stop at a bowling alley. She can't stop at a party. She can't drive by a liquor store.
The girl can't help it.
For God's sake. She's so banged up today.
Oh, man.
So here's the deal. Have a great holiday. Mm-hmm. Well, what am I saying? We're not going anywhere. We're just going down the street
down
to give
the
away the car.
Yeah. We'll still have another sign off.
Yeah. So stay there. Mm-hmm. And when we come back, we will be down the street at Simply Wireless with the 29 people and the keys. And
I'm very excited about doing this. I'm really looking forward to giving somebody that car.
Give it away. The Mercedes-Benz C230 Compressor Sports Coupe. Thanks again for the great ratings, DC. You know how much we love you. We do appreciate that. And listen, stand by now. Because if something happens to us,
in transit,
that will be it. And the show's in the hands of Joe Ardinger.
If something happens in transit, I love you, Laura. I just wanted to say that I do. I really, really do. Please give me some extra time.
We'll be right back. Great.
Not cute.
Now what's the deal with that?
Not cute. What the hell is the deal with that?
Mike?
Sorry.
Mike.
Fine.
Mike.
I'm fine.
5 hours till your separate vacation.
Oh.
5 hours.
Try this one.
Until you're on vacation with your favorite person.
Me.
Yourself. The person you never get mad at. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
So far away. Now it looks as though we're here to stay. I believe in yesterday.
Don't forget, Christmas is coming. Oh, that reminds me. Let's do a Christmas record.
Let's do a Christmas record.
Yeah, what should we say?
That's a good idea.
We've got to thank everyone. Remember to thank.
Yeah. Thank you.
You can't ad-lib too much.
Oh, thank you.
Well, thank you, Johnny. It's been nice to know you.
Got to thank everyone for all the presents this year.
Yes.
All for buying the records.
Yeah, especially the chewed up pieces of chewing gum and the playing cards made out of knickers.
On behalf of John and I, George speaking, I'd like to thank you for all the Christmas cards and presents and birthday cards and presents and everything too, as well.
On behalf of George and I, I'd just like to thank you all for the Christmas present and all the rest of it.
Thank you. Well, Ringo, what have we done this year?
I see you haven't shaved again.
Well, Ringo, what have we done this year?
We've done a lot of things this year, Paul.
Yes.
Well, we've been away. Yeah. And like last year.
Yeah, we've come back on.
Aye. We've had a lot of presents sent to us for our birthdays and Christmases.
We'd like to thank you.
Thank you for the presents and the cards.
Thank you for the presents.
Happy Christmas to your listeners, where in your cranes we belong to everybody, don't you nick it new. Oh, it's after the Jack McGregor pan his bunny ho. Hack your bunny Christmas with a pound of Irish stew.
Thank you, John.
Down in Virginia with the old black door, we got some, we got some. Down in Virginia with the old black door, we got some, we got some.
Oh, the people got and her abroad you lay. People got to say, Auld Lang Syne. For the sake of Auld Lang Syne, my dear, for the sake of Auld Lang Syne. For the sake of Auld Lang Syne, my dear, for the sake of Auld Lang Syne. One, one, two, three.
Well, for the sake of Auld Lang Syne, that reminds me, Ringo.
Yes.
Last year,
he was here.
We was here, around the same old mic, in the studio.
Same old guitar, same old faces.
It's the same old song, but a different meaning.
Some copyright, Johnny.
Copyright, can't say that.
Hey, yeah, all right, what are we going to do? What's out of copyright?
How about we'll get the lilacs in an old brown shoe?
Yes, that sounds a copyright.
But,
let's play a request for all the boys in B-A-O-R-E.
Yeah, all right.
What should we play for them? Because there's some, we got some fans in the force.
Well, here in Munich, it's not quite as fine as it is in London.
Well, Kenneth, the weather's raining here. It's not very good.
Oh, it's not bad over here, but some, you know, we had a bit of rain and all that.
Stay tuned in. It's five-way link-up.
If you've enjoyed this program, tune to 29314567 megacycles. If you can't find that, drop it.
She's a queen behind her guns and never brought the hand. China down in Vietnam and China. The heavens too. And look at all those bodies.
Jordan
China.
Floating in the river.
That looks as though it's about it for this year.
Well, that should cover Israel.
We certainly tried our best to
please everybody.
Please everybody. If we haven't done what we could have done, we've tried.
And if you haven't got yours, send fourpence in and get a free one.
And seeing as we gather around the Christmas microphone here in the studio, we might as well get together with a little Christmas message for you. Which goes something like this.
Christmas comes but once a year, but when it does, you know it's here because we've got a son.
See?
Christmas comes but once a year, but when it does, it brings good cheer because we've got a
son.
Big year for us.
Christmas Day.
One of our biggest years since we can remember.
Christmas Day.
And we can remember a lot of big years. Take bugs.
Christmas Day.
Christmas Day. And especially those abroad and those of you in BOR 2455 9783.
Christmas Day.
There's a lot of us here, one of which a lot of you are there. And the weather's perfectly all right, thank you. don't forget, the old and the new, some folks blue and some folks green. You take no notice of them, it's an all-white policy in this group.
Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Bless you all on Christmas Day.
Once a year.
Aye, and when it comes, it brings good cheer. So don't
Christmas Day. I'm the last of my Christmas Day.
All right, fade it there, Charlie.
Okay, put the red lights off.
This is Johnny Rhythm just saying good night to you all, and God bless you.
All right, well, that's got it done, then. What are we going to do now? Has he turned it off?
I think he has.
Have you turned it off?
Merry Christmas from the Don and Mike Show.
Okay, turn that monitor down. Someone, hey, pay attention here, please. Jesus. Hi, we're live with the Simply Wireless in Toothless Fairfax. Let me just say you could spit out the window of WJFK and get here. However,
no, traffic.
No. Not traffic. Grandma Spiewak.
Right.
Following Grandma Spiewak over here today, who, of course, refuses to go. You monitor the speed, 24 miles an hour.
Well, you know, the reason he was going slow, I was riding with him, and, you know, one thing led to another, and we, you know.
It is the holidays.
He doesn't know that
we couldn't
yellow,
help ourselves.
He doesn't know that yellow means go as fast as you can, and then, you know, at a yellow light, and then we get
the only last part. The only problem when I really noticed it was right at the end when that car was coming in. You could have turned in front of that car, and
you could have made the left hand turn.
Safety
but what
first,
fun
Rob,
would that be?
First.
But
yes,
what fun would that be?
And then of course we get into the shopping center where the car is, and Rob takes us all the way to the other end of the shopping center.
Thank Mike for that. He said it's right by Harris Teeter.
Yeah, Mike O'Mara.
I know Mike Friedman.
Yeah, all right. Make sure you get the right.
He said
Mike
there's
there.
A strip of. He just said there's a strip of stores right by Harris Teeter, so I went to that strip.
It's a lovely little strip shopping center type area. We're right across the street from the Harris Theater, and it's a lovely day with everybody.
It's simply Wireless at simplywireless.com, and the Mercedes is here.
Look at all the stuff they have in this fantastic store.
And I have been told that...
I'm back at WIRE in Annapolis.
I have been told that 28...
No, it's a nice store, Steve. I know that.
28 of the 29 people are here.
Hey, they've got Christmas cookies and Krispy Kreme stuff and drumsticks.
I take it back.
All right.
All right, now listen, here's the deal. 27 of the 29 people are here. One guy is a no-show, so that means immediately what you got
a one. That either you and I will have a chance at the car. Also,
you got a 1 in 28 chance of winning.
All right.
Also, one guy from New York was not able to catch the train.
Okay.
So we will get him on the phone when his turn comes,
and somebody will.
And Rob will pick out
Rob
a key
will do
for
it.
Him.
Okay, Rob will
and attempt to start.
Very good. That's good.
So now, Remy, let's get this going. And look, ladies
These
and
people
gentlemen,
have been very patient. Give yourselves a nice round of applause.
Hey,
this guy looks like Fuzzy Zeller over here.
All of the wonderful folks that listen to the show and won the keys. And what a beautiful Mercedes this is. Now, Remy,
I haven't gotten a chance to really look at it.
Who is first on the list?
Ed Johnston.
Ed Johnston? Where's Ed Johnston?
Oh,
there
Ed,
he is.
Ed Johnston. Hi, Ed. Where are you from?
Fairfax. Well, we just moved to Centerville, so.
Are you a little nervous right now? What's it feel like being the very first person to try your luck?
Great.
Good.
Great, he says. Now, what we need is the big bowl of Mercedes keys. Here, it's a bag.
A bag of keys.
A bag of keys. Oh, my God.
Oh, no, now don't do that.
Some of them have fallen out already.
Oh, my God. Oh, the humanity.
I can't shake the bag because the bag broke open.
Okay, very good. It's split open. Now, that won't affect the key, will it, Tammy, that they've smashed on the
No, these are those fancy Mercedes keys. You know, it's not like a regular key.
Yeah, it's like an electronic sensor key.
They're German-made.
So I won't shake it up.
All right, very good.
Ed? Here you go, sir. Pick one out.
Let's hear those sounds of the bag.
Wait.
What, Tammy? What? Yes?
When you grab your key, do not press any of the buttons. You will get your key right when you sit inside the car first. We're going to hand you a key. Put it right in the ignition. Do not press any button on the key.
Do you understand that, sir?
Sure. Because if not, it's going to be like the movie Scanners and your head's going to be blown
Absolutely.
Off.
Absolutely. That's right. All right. Of our contestants have been fitted with electronic collar sensors.
Christ, this is one beautiful car.
Boy, I'd like to drive this home myself.
Okay, have a seat. Get inside, Ed. You're the first.
Ed, now what is Ed's last name? Because, you know, if he does when we... It's Ed Johnston of Centerville.
Boy, everybody's going to be pissed if Ed gets in here and his key starts this thing.
All right, now are we ready?
Do we have Ed's key?
Where's Ed's key?
You have Ed's key.
Oh, Ed, pick it out. Pick one out. Remember, don't hit any of the buttons.
Okay.
Just pick a key out.
All right, go put it in there, Ed.
Here we go. Put it in and...
Nope.
No?
Nope. No.
How do you feel about that, ladies and gentlemen?
All right.
Sorry, Ed.
No. All right, that is one down and 27 to go.
Who's next on
Rummy,
the parade?
Who's next?
Hi, what's your name?
Amy.
Amy, what's your last name?
Spitaldi.
Amy Spitaldi,
like,
all right?
Look at how nervous she is.
Yes, she is. She's very excited.
You are actually freaking shaking.
All right, let's go. This is Amy Spitaldi.
Yes.
That's a lovely Italian name. Are you ready to pick your key?
Yes.
All right.
Where are you from, Amy?
Silver Spring.
All right, very
Amy,
good.
Oh, she's so nervous. Now, wouldn't it be nice if she won? Get in the car.
All right, Amy Spitaldi. Whoa.
Now, Amy, could you picture yourself driving this Mercedes?
Yes.
Okay, pick one out, honey. Pick a winner. Okay, just
good luck, Amy.
Now put it in.
Put it in the key.
Put it in, and
Buzz, in the keyhole.
Buzz has got it mic'd, and if it starts it, you win it. No.
No. Thank you, Amy. Thank you very much for playing, Amy.
Now listen, all you other people, it's okay to applaud because it means you've all still got a chance to win.
All right, who's next on the hit parade?
Who's number three, Rummy?
What's your name, sir?
Mike Sneringer.
Mike Sneringer?
Sneringer.
All right, Mike Sneringer, come up and grab a key from Don.
Mike, have a seat in the car. The car, of course, courtesy Simply Wireless and AT&T. Where are you from?
Bert.
Burke VA.
Burke.
All right, pick one out. Pick one of these fancy Mercedes electronic keys out.
Mike Sneringer from Burke, Virginia is going to try his luck right now.
Put it in the hole. Turn it.
Let's see what happens, Mike.
He dropped it.
Forfeit. Don't
he
drop
dropped it.
It.
It's not a forfeit. No luck.
No luck for Mike Sneringer.
No luck.
Nice round of applause, and it seems like the applause gets more enthusiastic with each one that goes by.
And incidentally, this is not going to be like our April Fool's show when we actually don't have a winner on a credit contest.
Exactly.
I promise someone wins.
What's your name, sir?
James Crabtree.
James Crabtree. Fine name.
James,
fine New England name.
Where are you from?
Wayne, New Jersey.
I want to tell you something. You are going to be profiled if the cops see you driving this car.
That's right. Absolutely.
Look at this guy. He looks like Kid Rock.
He gave me drumsticks, Don.
Yeah, but I mean, they are going to be profiling you with the nose thing and the ear thing.
That's why I'll take the cash if I win.
All right. Whether you win or lose, do I get to keep the drumsticks?
No.
Oh, really? You going to take them back? I get to keep him. Thank you.
He's funny.
All right, Mike Crabtree.
I hope you win.
Mike Crabtree of New Jersey.
Here we go.
James Crabtree.
Certainly, I think I speak for everyone who's gotten close to James when I say, no need to bathe on such an important day.
Here goes James Crabtree. Let's see what happens.
No good, guys.
Oh.
No good.
James, sorry, James.
Sorry, James. Thank
sorry,
you.
Sorry, James. We'll have a nice bar of soap for you.
Thank you, James. Thanks
for
coming
down.
Out. Wayne, New Jersey. All right.
Where's Joe?
Joe?
Now, Joe. Hi, Joe.
Hello.
Where are you from, Joe?
I'm from New Jersey.
Joe, what's your full name?
Mamola.
Joe Mamola.
Hey! Now, Joe, I hope your trip down on Amtrak was okay?
Yeah, it was fine.
Very good. Beautiful. Hop in the car.
Good luck.
Maybe you'll drive this back. On the beautiful New Jersey Turnpike. We want to thank Amtrak for bringing all of our New York listeners down who won keys. There you go, Joe.
Good luck, Joe.
No good.
Good luck, Joe.
No good.
Oh, sorry about that, Joe.
As the numbers get smaller, as the numbers get bigger, what is it, Rob?
As the numbers get bigger, the odds get smaller.
There you go.
All right, now here is our next contestant. Hi, what's your name, honey?
Lori Deckelbaum.
Lori Deckelbaum, where are you from?
Rockville.
From Rockville, Maryland.
I brought you guys some Hanukkah gelt.
Oh, Hanukkah gelt. Thank you. Dreidel.
It's Lori Deckelbaum from Rockville, Maryland.
Hop in, Lori.
Won't the Deckelbaums be thrilled if Lori starts the car?
Lori looks good behind the wheel of this car. Here you go. Here's the bag.
Just give me the key.
Well, no, you got to pick out the key.
All right, pick out the key, Lori Deckelbaum.
And Lori Deckelbaum
from Rockville, Maryland. Let's see what happens. No. Oh, don't cry. Don't cry.
Sorry. And you get to keep the candy, though?
Thank you for the Hanukkah gelt. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Remy, who's next?
Hi there. What's your name, sir?
Ronald Dexter.
Ronald Dexter, where are you from?
Springfield.
Ronald Dexter from Springfield, Virginia. Very good.
I want to tell you, you're our brother. You're going to be profiled in this car as
Everybody's being profiled today. It's incredible.
All right, go ahead. Reach in.
Ronald Dexter.
Hold on. Don't break the bag, son. There you
Ronald
go.
Ronald Dexter.
Got a key.
All right.
Put it in.
Go ahead,
start,
Ronald.
Start, you win.
Sorry, no profiling
today.
Okay,
no, no profiling
there
today. Sorry, Ronald.
Thanks, Ronald Dexter.
Thank you, my friend.
Who's next?
And Remington Steele, who's next?
Hello.
Have you seen Lisa? Hey, Remy, who's next?
Hi.
Hi.
Chris Decker.
Chris Decker.
Chris Decker.
Hi, Chris Decker. Where are you from?
Woodbridge.
Woodbridge. Go in and try your luck.
Hi, Chris. What do you do?
Network administrator.
Beautiful. You look good behind the wheel of this car.
Chris Decker from Woodbridge, Virginia. Let's see.
Imagine a neck like this driving a car like this.
Very cool.
I mean, the guy's got all his NASCAR stuff on. He's got a Ford Mustang jacket on.
All right, Chris Decker. Good luck.
Good luck, Chris.
I'm sorry, no profiling.
No.
No profiling here either.
Now, Lisa, we can do that thing. Even if the car is started, everybody gets to go around, or we do that type of thing. And if they told you, thanks for that look. Okay, let's move right along. Thank you.
No, yes, Mike, after we're done.
Very good.
After the car does start, everyone who has a key will have a chance.
Very good. Okay.
Now, listen, just the rules are as such. After the one key starts the car, everyone else who had a key who didn't get it started, you get to pick your key to put it in to prove that only one key started it.
Who's next on the hit parade?
We have Cecil Thompson. He is on his way here. He's lost, so this gentleman's going to pick for him.
All right.
Is this a friend of Cecil's or?
Just some random guy.
A random guy.
Okay.
You realize you will have no claim to the car if you start it.
Hold on. He can't do it?
Simply wireless guy. He can't.
Oh, he can't. He's a simply wireless employee.
All right.
How about just some schmuck from the crowd?
How about somebody from the show? You want somebody from the show to do it, or is that bad too? Rob, you want to try it?
All right, Rob, go ahead. Pick one.
All right, he's playing for who, Lisa? Cecil?
Cecil Thompson.
Cecil
from
Thompson.
Where?
From Washington, D.C.
From Washington, D.C.
All right, Cecil Thompson. Rob will be starting
luck,
my
Cecil.
Car.
This won't seem too rigged if it starts now.
All right, Cecil Thompson, here we go.
Trying to win.
Let's see what happens, Cecil.
Here we go.
Oh!
Oh, man, Rob, turned his whole hand around. I thought he had it.
Rob almost broke the car.
Sorry, Cecil.
Hey, turn the car, whatever.
Sorry about that,
All right,
Cecil.
Who's next?
Christine Austin.
Christine, where are
Christine?
You?
Christine.
Hi there, where are you from, Christine?
Bowie.
Bowie, all right.
Hi, Christine, you bring a bunch of people with you today?
Christine Austin.
Just two. Hi, guys, and who are the people with you?
My husband, Tim, and my next-door neighbor, Linda.
Do you have any good words of luck for your wife?
She's a lucky woman. She can do this.
Christine Austin.
Get in there.
A buoy. Let's see what happens.
It'd be wonderful for Christmas to win this car, the Mercedes-Benz C230 compressor sports coupe.
She's selecting her key carefully.
What?
Can't find a key.
There are a million of them.
Keys there, honey.
All right.
Okay.
All right, Christine. Good luck.
Let's see. And? No.
Oh, sorry about that.
No, now.
It's getting very
hairy.
Interesting.
Now it's starting to grow hair.
19 keys left.
How many left, Robbie?
I believe 19 keys left.
19 keys. Who's next, Lisa?
Wow.
John Derisman from New York. Actually, he didn't get his ticket. So, unfortunately, he's at home. We have him on the phone, and we need somebody else to pick a key for him.
Okay, Rob, do you want to try it again?
Robbie again.
John Derisman? John Derisman is the name?
Yes.
So if he's on the phone, put him on the line right now.
Joe should have him.
All right, can we say hi to him? Hello?
John, are you there?
Good luck.
Well, John, even though you're not there, Rob's going to
try.
John, are you there, buddy? Don't worry about it. John Derisman, Rob Spiewak is now going to be picking a key and trying for you.
Good luck, John.
I would like the guy to get on the air. Joe?
Joe's having to tell him to turn his radio down. He's very excited.
All right,
we'll
hop
in the car, Robbie.
Hey, John, can you hear us?
Hello?
Rob's trying right now.
You know, this will be a really bad moment if the guy... We should just wait until the guy gets on the phone.
Rob has already tried the key. Did you try the key?
No.
Not yet.
Has anybody just told John to turn down the goddamn radio?
Yeah, Joe did. Okay, hold on.
Hey, John, are you there?
Yeah.
All right, John.
All right, here we go.
John Derisman of New York. Rob Spiewak is now going to try your key. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right, go ahead, Rob.
Go ahead, Robbie.
Good luck, John. No,
John, I'm sorry.
Sorry, John.
All right. Thanks a lot, fellas.
John, good luck.
John,
the Rob Spiewak, good luck charm continues.
John Tillman.
We have another live contestant here.
John Tillman.
John.
Come here, John.
Way to go, John.
Hi, Johnny.
John was over in McLean.
Hi, John.
John. Mike, Don, how you doing, guys?
Doing great. Where are you from?
I'm from Annapolis, Maryland, actually.
All right, now, I
John
can see
Tillman
you in this
of Annapolis.
Car. I can see you in this car.
Hey,
I can.
Sir?
Yeah.
Right.
Good luck, John. Reach in there and pick out a key from Don. Okay.
Do you like the color, or would you get another color?
I'd keep it this color, man. I like it.
Absolutely. Yeah, the black with the nice metallic interior.
Okay, John Tillman, give it a go, buddy. Let's see what happens.
Oh,
no. No go. No go.
And once again, the Simply Wireless Mercedes still has not been won.
Wow.
Who is next, Remy?
Bob Farabee. Bob Farabee of Dale City, Virginia. Where's Bob? Hi, Bob. Is it Farabee? Is that the correct pronunciation?
That's it.
All right, man. Go see Don and get a key.
Hop in, Bob.
Bob Farabee.
Bob, you know, I say this to everybody, but it really, you look good in this car.
All right.
No, he does.
Bob Farabee, Dale City.
And Mike, this is not translated, but you got to see the people's hands shaking when they actually pull out the keys.
Let's see what happens, Bob. Nope. Well, look at that.
No.
Sorry about that, buddy.
No luck. Sorry about that.
Way to go, Bob.
So how many people now are left, Het?
We have got, this is number 14, so we've got only 15 people after this.
So we've made it almost halfway through and no winner yet.
Jeremy Payton. Sorry, I just couldn't say Jeremy today.
Jeremy?
Jeremy Payton of Manassas, Virginia.
Hi, my friend. Where are you from? Oh, Manassas.
Manassas, yeah.
Right. Once again, if you win the car, you will be racially profiled.
That'd be all right.
Hey, Jeremy, you seem a little nervous. Are you a little nervous right now?
Yeah, I am.
You know, we've tried a lot of keys in here. You ready to give it a go?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, Jeremy Payton.
Hop in, my friend.
He's Jeremy.
Hop in. Get in.
Wait. What?
What, Lisa? What are you doing?
Sorry, go.
What's going on?
John Guglick.
Oh, what, did you get the order wrong?
Yeah.
John Guglick. Now, if this starts a car, we may have a controversy.
That increases your chances.
I know. I'm ready for it.
John Guglick.
John Guglick is the guy who... What happened here? What happened?
There were two Johns in a row, and I effed up.
John,
Rummy.
John Guglick, where are you from?
Arlington.
Arlington.
Technically, this guy was supposed to go before the other guy.
Yeah.
Are you going to shake your Guglick if you win?
Yeah, I'm ready to win.
All right, John. Go ahead.
All right. This is going to be a pisser.
I'll tell you, if John Guglick wins, Jeremy Payton's going to kick his ass.
Okay.
All right, John Guglick.
I'm ready to win this.
What was that?
I'm ready to win this.
Of course, you know, everybody picks one at random, so it really has no bearing on the contest, okay?
Here we go.
Let's see what happens, John Guglick. No. Oh,
all right, Jeremy, you're okay.
You feeling good, Jeremy?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Lisa, is Jeremy next?
Yeah.
Okay, Jeremy.
Good luck kiss.
Jeremy Payton. All right. Jeremy wants a good luck kiss from...
She's a great producer, but doesn't she look banged up today a little bit?
Big party last night. Is this not a face of too much Christmas party?
It's totally banged up. She never wears a hat.
Well, Jeremy would like a good luck kiss before he starts the car.
Would you like to give Jeremy a good luck kiss?
No, thank you.
No? All right, Jeremy.
Get over there and get your key, Jeremy Payton.
You'll have to settle for a key, Jeremy.
Manassas, Virginia. Let's see what happens.
All right, Jeremy. We're running out of keys.
I'm going to get over here and take a peek. I'll get a good view.
There he's got the key of his choice.
It's getting a little more tense around here right now. It really is.
Put it in, Jeremy.
No. Wow. I will tell people, we've done these contests before. We are deep into this contest right now.
We're going to do one more, then we're going to do a commercial break.
Very good.
And who's next?
David Werneth.
David
Werneth from College Park, Maryland.
Hi, Dave. What do you do, sir?
Salesman.
Hold on, you got to get in the car before you get the key.
Oh, you know, I bet you're going to win. You know, you got that kind of rude thing going.
Give me a key. Salesman.
All right.
Wait, what do you sell, Dave?
Truck tires.
All right, hop in.
All right, Dave, good luck.
Grab a key. Good luck.
Dave Werneth. Let's see what happens.
You like the car?
Love it.
All right, Dave, good luck.
Look at his hands shaking.
No, Dave, I'm so sorry.
No, that means...
I really had a feeling the way you grabbed for that key.
That means, Head, how many people are left now?
That was number 16. There is a 1 in 13 chance if you have...
Listen to that. And how do you all feel about that?
13 people left. No one has won the Mercedes-Benz yet, the Simply Wireless Mercedes.
Beautiful. Very exciting.
I guarantee when we come back from this commercial set, we will have a winner.
Oh, boy.
So we've only got 13 more to go. Stay there. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
As you know, I was determined to make my gift this year a little more meaningful. And after a great deal of effort, I believe I have. My gift does not come from some fancy store, all wrapped in glittery paper. My gift comes from my heart. Tonight I intend to sit each one of you down and tell you in my own words exactly how much you mean to me.
That's it.
That's the cheapest thing I've ever heard.
I could get someone over to give us all massages.
Oh, great!
Well, then,
gold medalist twat putters, Don and Mike.
All right, we're back at the Simply Wireless location of Toothless Fairfax with the Simply Wireless AT&T Mercedes-Benz C230 compressor sports coupe that we're giving away.
How did you do that? Did you memorize that during the break?
Yeah, I'm a smart guy, Mike.
Let's give Don Geronimo a round of applause, ladies and gentlemen.
Reading, I have only been reading the card for the last month.
You finally have it. You know it by rote. Somebody's going to know it even better when they drive it home. And
now,
we're excited about that.
We are going to have our winner in this break because we have 13 people left. Robbie, who is our next contestant?
Say hello to Benjamin Smith of East Setauket, New York.
Ben Smith. Hi, Ben.
Ben is the guy that won the gross out contest.
I was the dirty eater, yeah.
Ben is the guy, you might remember the show, when he ate all the leavings off the floor. He ate the guy's puke. He ate cat food.
It all went
he
down.
He ate
it
worms. He ate,
it went down.
He ate dirt.
You're going to make everybody in East Setauket proud, Ben.
I've got a ringer, though.
My
van driver, Lucky, is going to pick my key.
Oh, okay. Come on over here, Lucky.
All right, Lucky.
Lucky.
Is that legal? Can we let him do that? Can we let somebody pick the key for him? All right, Ben, get in. Sit in the seat. Okay. Go down. Sit in the seat.
Now you got to do it, Ben.
Ben.
Lucky, pick my key.
No, you got to pick it out, Ben.
Come on, man.
No, Ben, you got to pick it out.
No, the guy can pick it out for him if he wants the guy to pick it out for him.
All right, pick one out there, Lucky.
All right. Lucky's going to pick it out for him. Ben
Always
Smith
trust Lucky.
Of East Setauket.
All right, there you go.
That's the one.
That's the key.
East Setauket, New York. Let's go, Ben Smith. Let's see what happens, buddy.
Start it up and you win it.
Give it a try. Figure out how to put it in the hole. Oh, sorry, Ben.
Mr. Unlucky.
Unlucky, the limo driver.
Oh.
Mr. Unlucky.
All right.
Thanks, though, Ben.
Thank you, Ben. Thanks
a lot. Let's have you eat the vomit and the dirt and the worms.
That was a pleasure.
It was a pleasure.
Who's next, Robert?
Zeki Gokul.
Zeki Gokul.
Zeki Gokul. Hey, Zeki, where are you from?
McLean.
Nice to meet you. What do you do,
Zeki? McLean, Virginia?
Yeah, McLean, Virginia. I'm an unemployed mechanical engineer.
You're unemployed. I hope you get the car. I really
come on,
do.
Hop in.
Zeki Gokul.
Peter, you can drive down and get your unemployment checks in this thing.
Zeki Gokul of McLean, Virginia. Pick out a key. Let's see if you get the winning key.
I tell you this, Mike. Take a look at this. Zeki wore his lucky socks today.
Hey, look at that, Zeki. I like those socks. Those Argyles.
Wait, what are you, colorblind? The guys.
Good luck, Zeki.
I got the queerest red, white, and blue socks I've ever seen.
No go?
It's the socks are patriotic.
Oh, what a drag.
Sorry.
Zeki, I was rooting for you, buddy. Thank you very much.
And that means the number's even smaller now. Rob, who's next?
Brooklyn's own Mike Lugo.
Mike Lugo.
Come on over from Brooklyn. Hey, Mike. Hey, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing? You want to sit down? Go
Have
pick out
seat.
Your key. Go on.
Have a seat. Get in the car, Mike.
Mike Lugo. Not Lugie. It's Lugo, right?
All right. Grab the key of your choice there, Mike.
Let's see how Mike Lugo does with the car.
If your key starts it, you drive it back home.
Back to Brooklyn. Mike Lugo. Good luck. Here we go.
And?
Whoa! Mike Lugo of Brooklyn, New York!
I tried to warn you, Don.
Mike Lugo of Brooklyn, New York, you have won a
Mercedes-Benz. Congratulations, my friend.
Thank you very much. I want to say hello to my family and pops. I'm taking the money. You're not getting the car. Let me tell you.
Hey, the car is yours, the Mercedes-Benz C230 compressor sports coupe from Simply Wireless and AT&T. Rob, he was person number...
I got him at number 20.
Out of 29.
Wow. So, I mean, you just got in there, and were you feeling optimistic?
I was glad that I had at least a chance to do something.
Do you think of yourself as a lucky person?
Sometimes, yes, I do.
Well, today you are a lucky person. Let's hear it for Mike Lugo of New York.
Yeah, Mike, you should go talk to that guy whose name is Lucky.
That's right. Give him a little lesson on how to be lucky.
Now, listen, hold on. We do have to thank, let's get a picture.
Sure.
Get the picture here with Mike standing by his brand new car. That's a beautiful friggin' car. Hold on. There you go. That's we want to get the... Charles Broyhill is actually helping line up the shot that we'd like to get the car in the picture.
There we go.
It was originally just a picture of the three of us.
Very good.
We're getting you're going to have to stand back a little bit to get all three of us and the car in the picture.
I got a picture
with
Lisa, too.
You want a picture with Lisa? Absolutely.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Okay, all the pictures done?
Great.
I got the pictures now.
Now, Don, you were going to say something about the rules of this.
To come up and try your key in the car.
That's
so you see that only one key works.
It's a formality. You have to go through that. If you choose to, you'll be able to do that.
We want to thank the good people at AT&T Wireless and Simply Wireless this holiday season. Buy your AT&T Wireless phone from Simply Wireless. Everybody that won a key today gets a Simply Wireless gift bag, including auto detailing service from Mobile Auto Detailing. And a special thanks to Tommy Gordon of Herb Gordon Mercedes-Benz.
I know Tommy Gordon.
Because he gave us all the fake Mercedes keys that we used today.
Thank you, Tommy. Good man.
And also thanks very much to Harris Teeter. Your neighborhood food and pharmacy.
Hi, Harris Teeter.
Because they let us use the parking lot today.
And we want to congratulate all of our winners that came down here.
Yeah.
You're all terrific. Give yourselves a nice big round of applause, okay?
Yeah, you and did great.
Merry Christmas, happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Ramadan.
F Ramadan.
Behave yourself, stop it.
Everything else, happy whatever you're having.
Now, plenty of nice Muslims celebrating Ramadan.
That's right.
Have a great holiday. Let's kill Osama bin Laden.
There we go.
That would make it a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful holiday.
Thank you.
And
congratulations once again to Mike Lugo of Brooklyn, New York.
He's driving the car home today. Thank you, everybody. That's it. We're out for the rest of the year.
We are indeed. And Merry Christmas and happy holidays to everybody.
We got to go. All right. Listen, God bless you. Love you, Frieda. Love you, Bart. Have a great holiday. We'll be back on January 2nd.
Happy New Year.
Tonight, the Giants, with a victory against the Eagles tonight, could reduce the edge to a half a game. Not on camera now. We're in Philadelphia at Franklin Field. The score, the New York Football Giants 13, the Philadelphia Eagles 9.
Merry Christmas from the Don and Mike Show.
Feliz Navidad. You know, I think about it.
Yes.
Maybe what you just said, maybe I have felt some of that today also.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether I'm being paranoid or not.
I think so.
We were discussing just a moment ago that I waved at a certain individual. There's been a sense around here that we may be persona non grata among a few select few around here.
Well, I think they're all a bunch of ass-kisses. Mm-hmm. That they know that we had a fight with Ken.
Right.
And that Ken is mad at us.
Right.
And they somehow think that it will weaken their position with Ken.
Yes.
If they say hello to us in the hallway.
Precisely. Perhaps that's it. Hey, you know, I'll hold out. It could be just paranoia on my part.
Nah.
I don't think so, though.
You don't think about it, no. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact.
You get a little bit of it, too?
Yeah. And I got it on Friday. I definitely got it on Friday. We're like, nobody would talk. Everybody was afraid to say hello to us. Like, we had that
everybody's
freaking plague or something on Friday.
Definitely.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, the life we lead.
Everybody's so concerned with kissing Ken's ass.
Mm-hmm.
He's not even here. Right? His car is here, but he's not here.
He's gone.
It's
very strange. Very
town.
Odd. Very, very different energy. And, I hadn't thought about it, really. I mean, in all seriousness, I hadn't thought about it when I came in today. But then when I just noticed that, then I started thinking about it. So now I'm looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my regular pals, though, saying hello. Some of the regular folks that that are important to us here. There hasn't been much of a change.
There's nobody like that here, Mike. As far as I'm concerned, nobody here is important to us.
I'm talking about Colette.
Oh, Colette Rice.
Yes.
Yeah, Colette's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I also heard that on Friday.
Daniel Ryson.
Hey, Mike the Pick.
How are you?
I also heard on Friday that, Ken, of course, blew up at us. And said indirectly, that he hated us, said that to Buzz, and told Mike that we're on our own, and all this other stuff,
Mm-hmm.
Well, basically that was it. He hates us and that we're on our own.
Yes, yes. Very, very strong words.
Uh-huh. I also heard that he was, going ballistic on people on the telephone, that he was,
really?
Yelling at sales guys. Nobody knows exactly who they were, but he had his door shut,
uh-huh.
and he was screaming into the speakerphone.
So perhaps we should chalk it up to just a bad day?
I guess so.
Yeah.
Maybe Ken should know that all those same people that are kissing his ass and like boycotting talking to us because they don't want to step on his toes. Maybe Ken should know that all those people were hiding in front of his door last Friday, you know, listening to him yell at whoever he was yelling at.
Uh-huh.
Right, you bunch of ass kisses?
Yeah.
That's what you are.
Well, hello wouldn't hurt you.
Right, be that bad just to say hello to us?
God's sake. And you know what? You
well,
know.
We got the Scarlet Letter or something around here?
And I must say, you know, one of my great luxuries.
I must say,
one of my great luxuries is, you know, during the commercial breaks, mm-hmm. rolling a few 10-footers outside of the studio here. That's what I do. I do not go to the bathroom.
Hitting golf balls.
I like to hit a few golf balls. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Don, I don't know whether it's coincidence, but the putter over the weekend has gone missing. The putter is nowhere to be found. Now, I think I was working on maybe 6.5, 7 months where that putter was in the exact same place every day.
And now suddenly it's gone.
We have a little tiff with Ken, and I'm not going to go putt with that novelty putter that's behind the door.
The penis putter?
I will not use the penis
putter.
Because the penis putter doesn't roll them. It doesn't roll them the right way.
Let's find out. Let's call people and see if people will talk to us or not.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll just say hello. We, you know, just tell them we wanted to say hello, and we can kind of just check the tone out.
Because I feel that vibe.
Good.
I feel the same vibe around here.
It's like
we have a fight with a boss, and suddenly nobody wants to talk to us.
Mm-hmm. Might be a lot of those phones ringing today, too. As people right now scattering, just hiding for cover, running anywhere. People running into the janitor's closet right now.
This is Alan Linewand, Infinity Broadcasting, WJFK. I'm unavailable right now, but if you leave your name, no.
All right. It's kind of interesting that I believe his door was open a moment ago.
Hey, let me see. Jeff Hedges.
Wow, there you go.
That was Alan Linewand.
This is Jeff Hedges. It is Monday, April 12th. I will be in and out of the office today, but checking voicemail.
All right. All right, that is the general sales manager and the vice president of sales.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try our national sales manager.
That's a very good idea.
Jeff Shrinsky.
Jeff. Hi, Jeff.
Hello?
It's Don and Mike, Jeff, buddy.
Hi, Don and Mike, Jeff. I mean, Don and Mike, buddy.
Well, all right, you get the prize. At least you're speaking to us.
We're just going down the employee phone list and checking who wants to say hello.
Oh, I say hi. Hi.
Mm-hmm. Hi. Hey, why do we get this vibe, Jeff, that, like, everybody is giving us the cold shoulder just because we had a fight with Ken on Friday?
I don't think most people know about it.
You think so?
I don't think they do.
Really?
Yeah.
Think we're just being paranoid?
Probably, to be honest with you. I don't think anybody knows about it, except maybe I might have heard something about it, but I didn't think I was not talking to you. I think I'm talking to you.
Nobody knows except the 4 million people that were listening to the show on Friday.
Well, no. Other than that, I don't think that the most of the staff who is, you know...
Who hear the station through the building.
I don't know how aware of it they are, and I don't think that they really let that interfere with their relationship with you.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Joe.
Okay.
Very good answer.
All right.
Yeah, and he's just, you know, and he laughs at the end knowing it's BS.
Yeah, right. That man was lying.
He did say hi to me in the hall a few minutes ago.
He said hi to me in the hall also, so he's okay.
He's on the okay list.
Yeah, I think so.
But, you know, he's kind of a rebel anyway. He's kind of a free spirit around here.
Let me see. How about...
You know, and I think I would just like to say the way you are using this phone list, I couldn't prioritize it any better myself.
Well, now, I know Tim McWilliams always loyal to us.
Yeah, but...
He'll say hello. All right, let's put him on the spot.
Be honest.
That line's busy, Mike.
All right. He said hello to me coming in today, too.
Okay. Let's go to... Let me see. Next on the list. How about Carl?
Huh.
You know, we never talk to Carl on this
No,
show.
We don't. Good guy. Very friendly.
We'll be the judge of that, Buzz.
We'll see what happens. Right.
And I don't believe Shrinsky for a second. People are around here are very aware of everything that goes on.
Yes.
For goodness sakes, that's why 25 of them were gathered like ants in front of Ken's door on Friday when he was screaming at somebody.
They're a very sharp group.
Hello, this is Carl Farley. I'm away from my dad.
All right, he's not here.
All right. All right,
or he's not answering. But I think he's not here.
Now, and everybody is totally aware of everything that goes on.
Of course.
I have never worked, and I've worked at over 25 stations, I have never worked at a bigger rumor mill, at a more of a gossip-loving building
than this
building right here.
You know, we got a lot of people in pretty close quarters around here. We are all very close together.
Ah, I'm going to try somebody new.
Very good.
Let's try Joan from the third floor.
Joan from the third floor. Very good.
You know, just Joan.
Just Joan. Don't have a lot of contact with Joan normally. I don't. I think you...
I say hello to her. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's a nice lady.
Mm-hmm. I don't see her very often.
She's one of the third floor people. She's up there with Ken all the time.
Is she?
Yeah. I mean, she's around him.
And I must give props to the gerbil, who actually ducked into the office today.
But I would like to point out...
I knew there'd be something you'd know.
I would like to point out that on Friday,
yes,
in the middle of the fight...
Hi, you've reached Joan Lotta.
No, not here.
I would like to point out that Friday, in the middle of the fight with Ken, Jeremy did give me the cold shoulder Friday when I did see him. I went up to the third floor to call our agent.
Right.
At about 6 o'clock on Friday night.
Right.
And Jeremy walked right by the door and didn't say a thing.
Okay. All right.
So that's Johnny come lately with him.
So he's on the fence then.
Well, let's call him.
Or perhaps on the bubble.
Or under the table.
I should say nobody likes speaking to us on the phone more than Jeremy.
Hello.
Hello.
So did you like The Matrix?
Very much. It was fantastic.
I have no idea what you were talking about before your phone call, so.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Okay. Everybody around here, we are perceiving a bit of a cold shoulder from the staff in general today based on our fight with Ken on Friday.
You are?
Yeah.
Shocker.
We're just sensing. It's kind of it's an intangible.
Not from the real people, you know, your regular workers like Colette and Terry,
right,
kind of Ben Peterson.
They still like you.
Pretty much the Politburo, you know what I mean? The sitting cabinet members.
So who's giving you the cold shoulder?
Hedges, buddy.
Jeff Hedges. Jeff Hedges is giving you a cold shoulder.
Yeah, I know. Now listen, I know what you're saying, Jeremy. Jeff Hedges barely has a pulse. But right. What I'm saying is from Jeff Hedges, a warm greeting is when he says hello.
That is true. And what it was, Jeremy, this is coming from me, I waved at him and he walked right into Alan's office. You know, it was really like a wave where it was one of my salute waves. You've gotten that before, right? You know my salute wave?
Yeah.
You know, I gave him my salute wave and nothing.
And you know, on Friday...
I'm just getting a little paranoid.
When we were having that fight with Ken on Friday, you did walk right by me, didn't say anything. On Friday, Jeremy. You did, when I was up in the office.
I did?
You did. You did. I'm like an elephant. I don't forget, man. Don't forget.
I did not mean to give you the cold shoulder, but
I saw that. As Mike said, I'll give you credit. You bravely came by and said hello to us today, but it was when you knew
that
Ken was safely out of the building so that you could come by the office and say hello to us without fear of retribution. Right?
And not true at all.
Were you one of the people gathered around Ken's office when he was in a screaming match on his speaker on Friday?
No, actually, I missed most of it because I was at the chiropractor getting my neck cracked.
But you are aware of this.
Damn, an alibi.
But you are aware of this screaming match.
Yeah, I heard about it as soon as I walked back into the building.
See, what did I tell you? And remember, Trinsky said, no, people don't pay attention to that.
Everybody's connected around here. Everybody knows what's going on.
You know who he was screaming at?
When he was on the phone? No, none of us have been able to find out.
Because I heard it was like world class. It was just... Vintage Ken just going off on somebody, man.
No, I missed it. I usually hear that being so close to him, but I missed it.
Okay.
All right.
But no, I didn't give you the cold shoulder.
Did he mention today if he still hates us?
I didn't even see him today. He was here for about an hour. He was on the phone for most of it, and now he's head off to New York City.
How would you describe his mood today, Jeremy?
Like I said, I didn't talk to him.
I know somebody who got the cold shoulder from Ken personally today.
Yes.
One Mr. Robay Spiewak.
He was departing as I got here, and I came in, and he was being picked up by George, his driver.
Right.
And I waved to them both, and George waved back.
Oh, but you
and
know
Ken
what?
Amazingly didn't see me. Of course,
Rob
I know
today.
I'm small and hard to spot, so he might not have seen.
Hold on, wait. You got the cold shoulder from Rob?
Yeah, I said hi to Rob, and Rob's like, hi. I mean, it was very uncharacteristic.
Oh, boy. Now everybody's just starting to get... Everybody's getting the cold shoulder from everybody.
Jeremy? Would you like a hug?
Did you give him? I just like a hello.
Did you give him the cold shoulder tonight?
Not intentionally. Perhaps I was so busy doing show prep.
Well, you were. You were pleased over your
desk. No, Jeremy, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that if that's how you perceived it. Okay. How you doing, buddy?
Thanks. I'm doing great.
Had Ken mentioned to you on Friday that he hates us and that we're on our own?
No, I heard that on your show.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, thank goodness for our show. Otherwise, people would know nothing about
That's
what's
true.
Going on at this radio station.
Obviously, everybody's hearing it from our show.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Jay.
Been a pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, he spoke to us. You got to give him credit for that. Very little credit, but you have to give him credit for it.
I ain't giving him credit.
Man. I know. It's tough.
All right.
Especially when he's, you know, ends the kind of been a pleasure.
Please. And how was The Matrix?
Yep.
I have no idea what you were talking about on your show today.
There's a tiny bit of him, and it should be a... We've always perceived there's a tiny bit of him that I'm thoroughly enjoying this feud we're having with Ken.
Oh, he loves it. Are you
Absolutely
kidding?
Absolutely loves it.
It's more leverage for him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more the leverage just to validate his position at the radio station.
You're here.
See, Ken, you need me. You need someone to control them. Air talent is uncontrollable. They're highly combustible. They're loose cannons. I have to be sitting here with my bony finger on the button, just in case they say one of the words they shouldn't say. I know exactly how that goes. And please, like he doesn't know about the fight with Ken on Friday.
Everybody knows about that.
Like Ken doesn't say to him, oh, those a-holes, I hate them. He goes, yes, you're right to hate them. I hate them, too.
We're just trying to find out where we stand. Just trying to find out where we stand with everybody here.
All right, well, most everybody is just simply ducking a call.
Yeah, ducking our call.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You like Peter, Paul, and Mary?
Yes, I do. I'm a big fan.
Up the magic dragon.
Great song.
Yeah, one of my favorites.
Who would have thought it wasn't really about a dragon, huh?
What do you mean?
You know, the whole drug thing.
No, I don't know. Why don't you tell me?
Some people think that to pop the magic dragon means they're really to smoke a marijuana cigarette.
Puff is just the name of the boy's magical dragon.
Right.
Are you a pothead, Farker?
No. No.
What?
No. 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 Jack. No. I'm not. I pass on grass all the time. I mean, not all the time.
Yes or no, grass?
No. Yes. No.
Two cocksure broadcasters, Don and Mike.
You know, that might just be one of the calls bouncing back. Hello, Tim.
Hey.
Tim McWilliams.
Hey,
Hey.
And Mike.
Tim McWilliams.
How you doing, old buddy?
And you know what?
What?
I've got to give Tim his props. I didn't remember this. Tim did speak to me before the show.
Oh, good. Good,
As
good.
As a matter of fact,
I want to speak to you.
He mentioned the Albania bit. So, yeah.
Tim. Great bit.
We're just trying to figure out if people are giving us the cold shoulder because we had the fight with the evil one on Friday.
I don't think it has anything. I don't know who you're making reference to directly, but I don't think it has anything to do with that at all.
Oh, really? Why would they be giving us the cold shoulder then if it's not that?
Sometimes, Donnie, you don't go out of your way to give people warm, fuzzy feelings either, you know, old boy.
Oh, my God.
Who do I not say hello to? All right, besides, I'm looking at the employee list now. I don't know half the people that work here.
Right.
I mean, listen, basically, Tim, I hide in the office and I hide in the studio.
Right.
So it's not like I'm being, you know, rude to people because I never come out of my cave.
Well, I know. I mean, I know you, and, you know, I get it, but...
Tim, we're just we're trying to get a feel for the room, you know?
I think your stock is very high with the staff, and I don't think it has anything to do with the, you know, any kind of conversations you might have had with the old boy. I mean, you know, Ken and I have had frank and honest conversations in the past. He gets over it.
All right. That's nice, Tim. That's very nice of you to
Encouraging.
Say.
Encouraging. So who is mad at me because I'm not being friendly to them?
Let me see. How much time you got, Don?
No, come on. I'm serious. Tim, I'm very...
the employee list out here.
I'm very... I got my employee list right here.
Do you want this in alphabetical order?
All right. Here you go.
Give it to you randomly.
Okay. Alan. You know, I say hello to Alan. Bobby. I love Bobby.
Bobby says hello to you.
Brad. Frankly, I don't know who Brad is.
Oh, Brad, you know who Brad is. Mm-hmm. Brad's the thin drink of water. Works right down the main hallway.
Oh, I never see
where the junkies
him.
Throw the football.
Bretta? I say hello to Bretta.
Mm-hmm.
Cameron? Friends with Cameron?
Well, of course, Bretta, you know, you got that situation a year ago when you were busting up because she was playing a radio station.
Oh, she still hold a grudge about that?
Oh, man.
Tim, this is great. Our eyes and ears in the sales department. You can let us know where we stand.
Yeah. Carla.
I let you know, baby.
I swear to God.
I didn't go over real big.
I swear to God, I don't know who Carla is. Who is Carla?
She's a new member of our staff, so that's understandable that you don't know who you're
saying. Right. I don't know
Carla. Carl, I know I say hello to Carl. Right. Chris Owen, say hello to him. Charles, say hello to him. Royal. Christine Kerner, Colette, Dan Ryson, Daryl Nichols, David Hainlein. I'm going down big friends here right now.
Well, I don't know why. Are you feeling very sensitive, Don?
Yes. God damn it, yes.
Yeah, I think you got it. You got friends here for life, Don.
I don't feel the love here. I don't feel the love.
You need somebody to show you the coin.
You know, we're trying to, it's a business. We're trying to make some money. That's all. You know, sometimes we get focused and we lose track of the personal touch, you know?
Do you know something? I believe Tim McWilliams showing another talent today as therapist.
That's it. Where do you see my bill?
Dr. McWilliams.
You know what I mean?
Okay. I'm still going down the list. Jeff Shrinsky. All right, he spoke to me.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Hedges. I know Jeff Hedges hates me. He hates me because we call him a vampire on this show.
But he laughs about that normally. He laughs. Do you speak to Jeff? Do you say hello to Jeff? Do you say hello to him?
Let's talk about something else.
Oh, you don't get along with Jeff Hedges?
Did I not say let's talk about something else?
Boy, I love it. This is great when we get into this behind-the-scenes stuff.
Meet the staff. Okay, then you've got Jeremy, who I know is our biggest supporter. Who is Joe Gallagher?
Joe's one of our Redskins guys.
All right, again, can't be rude to somebody I don't know.
He's not here, like, during the week, is he?
Oh, no, he's here. In fact, he's here right now. He just pushes the Redskins side versus the spot side.
Oh, he's a sales guy.
Yeah, he's a sales guy.
Is he the guy with the
side?
Has he got the goatee?
No, he's clean shaven, 5'11", 6', dark hair.
We know so little about the people that work here.
And you're wondering why people don't say hi to you in the hallway, huh?
All right, I'm still going through the list. I'm getting nothing but love. I'm getting Julie. That's Mr. Liddy's Julie.
Very nice. I say hi to Julie all the time.
I love her.
Right.
Julie, the sales Julie. Love her. Say hello to her. Joan, say hello to her. Kate Slough, say hello to her.
Love her.
All right, well, Ken is on my list.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Who is Les?
Well, Les is no longer. He's one of the guys that, frankly, you tore him apart on the air because of the way he dressed or used to dress.
Herb Tarlin.
Oh, yeah, we didn't tear him apart, Tim.
Come on.
We
didn't. About the lack of love. You basically ripped the guy apart in front of 4.5 million people.
Oh, for God's sake, we tore you apart a lot worse than we tore him apart.
Yeah, but I got thick skin. He got sensitive about it and left.
Oh, yeah, he left because of us. Okay, sure.
Okay.
Madonna.
All right, I know Madonna hates me. Let's not even get into that. Then you got, am I right about that? Madonna hates me? Still hates me about the comment?
I think so.
Let's go on to the next one. What's the next one?
Okay, yeah, that's our honest answer. All right.
Okay. Then you've got Matt. Isn't Matt
Matt's
the one?
The guy with the goatee.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Matt's the guy with the goatee. He's on the staff.
That has
his
the,
girlfriend came to
had the goofy,
parties.
The goofy girlfriend.
Okay. All right, okay.
Right.
Well, no, I don't say hello to him. Frankly, I don't, because I don't know him. Michelle, I say hello to her. Mitch, I say hello to her. Him, Monique. Nicolette. Who is Nicolette?
Well, Nicolette's one of our new spot people, too. It's, again, it may be understandable that you don't know who she is.
Okay. Rita. I know Rita. I say hello to her.
There you go.
Rob Spiewak. Hate him.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Martin. I say hello to Sean. Sherlita. I love Sherlita. Stacy. Love Stacy.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Johnson. All right, that's a tricky relationship.
Yeah, but we speak friendly to Steve. We
you
do.
You know, I've just gone through the whole list, and you got Tammy, who I love. Terry, who I love. Tim McWilliams, who I love. Timmy Obibene, who I love. All I got here is love, man.
Well, you know,
I got nothing but love.
You got a couple of love categories there with asterisks after them. For instance, Mitch Johnson, the last time you talked about him wasn't exactly in a positive light. I've never heard you say anything positive about Steve Johnson, so that may be the love category, but it's going to have maybe two asterisks.
I said Steve was...
There's a fine print to these contracts, Don. You get the devil's in the details, baby.
I said that Steve Johnson was a tricky relationship, and frankly, Mitch Johnson is a putz.
But he's a good guy. He's a good putz.
Yeah. No, and we've been like, we've had that relationship with Mitch Johnson for over 10 years
now. A funny relationship.
He's
all right.
So what category is he in?
He's we've known him for a long time.
I think it's toleration.
It's a hello in the hallway.
It's in a T category.
Yeah, and I do say hello to Mitch.
All right. Well,
frankly, I've blown your theory apart here. I've gone down the entire employee list, and I feel nothing but love. Nothing but love and respect for most of these people.
Well, yeah. You know, there's a way of saying hello, and there are other ways of saying hello. Hey, look,
how should I say hello to somebody rather than say hello?
Well, when you come up to me and say, hey, Tim, how are you doing?
Well,
you
know, Christ, I like you, Tim. You know what I mean.
I do. I get it. But,
Tim wants you to say, hi to everybody like that, but you can't do it. I know.
Please. Hey, Matt Ray. All right. Well, you know, we were just feeling a little paranoid today.
Yeah, I guess so. That's all.
You know,
I'm not sure I like this way this conversation's gone, Tim.
I wouldn't read anything into it. I mean,
I feel very uneasy. I feel very uneasy.
No, don't. Everything is fine. Everything's beautiful. We're in here selling the hottest radio show in Afternoon Drive in Washington. And people are focused right now. There's a lot going on. Your show is tighter than the Pope's schedule on Easter Sunday. And people are focused and maybe distracted.
Listen to him. All right. Thank you, Tim.
All right, thanks, Tim.
All right, you know, we're just talking to the biggest bull-esser in the world looking for a little reassurance there.
The guy that changes his hair color every half hour. He's lecturing us on how to handle people.
A guy who's had his own share of screaming matches with people around here. Incidentally.
That's the one thing he said that's true. I mean, he's a guy that's had run-ins with everybody. And, you know, and he's right. Everybody gets over it.
Okay. All right, well.
But I do sense, and you do too, and I think that may be accurate.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, nothing during this entire segment has changed my mind about that.
Well. F them.
There you go.
What did I say, Mike? F them.
And whoever stole my putter, please return it.
Right. Because you don't want to use a penis putter.
I'm not going to use it. Well, maybe the next break I'll use the penis putter if I have nothing else.
Okay, let's get on to this Kathy Lee thing.
Very good.
You people are making it very hard for us to work here. That's all I can say.
I wish
everybody would just think a little bit more about us and a little bit less about themselves and their own lives here at the station. Me and Mike have to come in here and spend 4 hours every day behind hot lights doing this show.
You know, it's really tough. It's really tough when, you know, when you've got all that negative energy in the hallway to come in every day happy, happy, joy, joy. Not easy.
Jeez. Well, let me just say hello, everybody.
Hi,
everybody that works here.
Good to see you all.
Right. Love you.
Thanks so much.
Love you. Jesus. Hello, Don of my show. Hello. That's not right. That was said on the screen is one of our sales guys calling in.
Somebody calling in from the road, maybe to check in?
No. I guess it wasn't. Mm. My apologies on that.
You know what I'm going to do in the next commercial break? Seriously? I'm going to walk the halls.
You're a better man than me, Mike.
I'm going to walk the halls and just say hi to everybody. And really, I'm going to look at them like the guy looks at the poker players in Rounders. So I'll walk up to somebody, I'll say, hi, how you doing?
You give them that look? Okay.
That's right.
Well, report back and let me know what everybody
Very
has
good.
To say.
Very good. I'll do the whole building.
Pass my best wishes on to them, please.
Absolutely.
Yes. To the staff, one and all.
Most definitely.
To the staff that worships Ken.
You're worshiping the wrong guy.
I got news for you. You're praying to a false god. Hello, Don at my show.
Well, you know, if you go to a company function once in a while, they probably like you a little better.
We do go to company functions.
What company function are you talking about?
I'd like to point out, hold on. I'd like to point out that we were the life of the company Christmas party.
What company function are you speaking of?
Oh, how about the potluck that you were complaining you wouldn't eat anything made by anybody's hand that you worked with?
How many years ago was that? And I stand by that I would not eat any food that anybody that works here touches.
That's right.
And what's wrong with that statement? And frankly, listen.
People take that stuff wrong.
Do you know something? I think it should be really pointed out that when we do this show, we walk the hallways around here and say hi to everybody. We don't hide in this little room.
Oh, I do.
I know. Sometimes.
and frankly, I don't care if they like me or not. Just pretend like you do. I just need that. I really need that, man.
So do I. I mean, if somebody wants to really fake it, well, hey, how are you? Close the door. There he goes.
I mean, you know they do that anyway.
Sure. Well, that doesn't bother me.
It's jerks. Don and Mike are such jerks.
Very disturbed by the Tim McWilliams analysis.
Hello, Don and Mike.
More uneasy after that call than I did before.
Hello.
I called the show today, and Christine gave me the cold shoulder.
Everybody's sensitive. It's Monday.
I'm telling you, I noticed about the thing with Ken, that people, as soon as we have a fight with him, people think they got to take one side or the other, and if they're perceived as talking to us or being nice to us, then it'll get back to Ken.
Right.
That's what it's all about. That's it in a nutshell, right there.
And then, of course, when things blow over, everything gets back to normal.
Then they all come around and want to be happy, happy, buddy, buddy with us.
That's right, but we hold grudges.
But we'll remember.
I've got a message for Ken.
Yeah.
You whore!
Oh, please.
I would like to say that was a phone call.
Hello, Don on my show. Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
How you all doing?
Hi there.
They're all worshiping the devil.
I wish they were. Oh, you mean Ken, right.
Yeah.
I got you. Okay, I'm with you. One more call. Hello, Don on my show. All right, bye-bye.
Everyone helping our cause.
Well, they're on our side.
Yes, they are.
I think I got a zit coming in.
Under your beard?
On my chin, underneath my beard.
Could be an ingrown hair.
No, it feels like a zit.
Yeah, but sometimes that's, it's aggravated.
I bet you it's a zit.
Have you trimmed it recently?
Uh-uh.
Painful?
I'm trying to pop it with the end of a pencil right now.
Oh.
Oh.
A pus?
Wow. That's a gusher.
No, there's no pus, is there?
It's covered with pus. Pus is running out of your
skin. Is it really? Is there really pus?
No, I can't see anything.
I really feel you like you got a zit under there.
You should ignore it, because that's the nice thing about having a beard.
Right there. Right there. And I also got another one right over here.
Mm.
You see this one?
Stress. Or? It's stress.
Thanks, Ken. Thanks for the zits, Ken.
It's stress.
Take it from someone who knows. Don't mess with it. It'll only make it worse.
Yeah. Oh, right. Thank you, Robbie.
Remember Zovirax over here?
5 pills a day. Sure.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Robbie Herpes.
You know, he started working on his with, like, gardening tools.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Where is Don? Here I am. Where is Ron? Oh, my dude. Where is Mike? Here I am. Where is Don? Where is Mike? Here we are, the Don and Mike Show. Where is Lisa? Where is Jeff? Here we are. This is the Don and Mike Show. Here we are. Where is Buzz? Here I am. Where is Charlie? Charlie Boyer. Where is Robbie? Here I am. Don't make me live. The Don and Mike Show on WJFK 106.7, 11-3.
Christmas is the time.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hotline is ringing right now. Oh, this could be the old death row. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hotline.
Hello. This is, Jethro Bodine.
Max.
I was paged. Yeah. Hi, I'm Jethro.
Hello, Max.
Give me some cornbread, Granny. Hello, I'm returning the call from the Don and Mike Show.
Yes, this is Don of the Don and Mike Show. Is this Max?
Oh, hi, Don. This is Jethro Bodine.
is this Max Baer Jr.?
Uh-huh. And I called because you called me. And ow, I hurt my tooth. I wanted to say that I want to be a friend now. And everything is forgiven and all is well. I'm really excited about my TV show that I used to be on, the Beverly Hillbillies thing. I can talk the way I used to talk on the show if you'd like me to.
Oh, sure, please do, Max.
Is it me? I want to go in the pool, in the cement. I want to swim in the cement.
You know.
Something,
hold on. Max, can you hold on just a second?
Yeah, sure.
You know, something tells me that this might not really be Max Baer. How did you get this phone number? Because whoever this is did call us on the hotline.
I got it because you paged me and you put the phone number in.
You know, wait a minute. This voice sounds strangely familiar to me.
This is Jethro Bodine. Granny, where are the critters? Yeah, where are the critters?
What is the name of your blind dog, according to People Magazine?
Spot. Spot the dog. My blind dog, Spot.
And who are...
I know Jed. Jed is my father.
Who are your current roommates?
Amy and Mrs. Drysdale.
I want to tell you, I know right now this is... I don't know who this is. A fantastic impression of Max Baer Jr.
No, this is Max Baer.
This is not Max Baer Jr.
Yes, it is.
This is not... I would bet $1 million if I had $1 million.
No, money... Joe, shut up, Joe. I'm on the phone.
Who are you talking to there, Max?
No one's here. I'm watching TV.
Oh, wait. You know what?
What?
I think I know who this is.
This is Jethro Bodine.
Is this Dennis Murphy?
No, this is not Dennis Murphy. From the Beverly Hillbillies.
Wait, I got it now. Mm-hmm. Somebody else pulling our chain here.
Hey, Granny, the critters are coming down. And Eddie Mae is going to come down to our big house with rich people.
Is this Homo Joe?
No. No. It's not Homo Joe, silly.
Is this Cheryl the Big Dyke?
No, it's not Cheryl the Big Dyke. It's Jethro.
All right, I got it. Wait a minute, hold on.
Oh.
Hello, Tom Gavin.
No, it is not Tom Gavin. This is Charlie Stewart's governor.
Charlie!
I was kidding you! I was doing an impression of Jethro! Wasn't it great?
It was good.
Joe, say to George and Joe, say hi to John Joe. That's Joe. He's in the back watching TV and eating Reese's peanut butter cups.
So you spend all your time with Joe Artinger now?
Yes, Joe's my new best friend.
What happened to your brother Matthew?
Matthew is no longer living with me. He is living back in Hyatt Silver Huggy Bear on his own. He's doing really well now.
Really?
Yeah, he makes his own waffles every morning right in the toaster. So he's happy and I'm living with Joe Artinger. Joe Artinger, we both work at WJFK. You know that, Don.
What are you doing at the station right now, Charlie? Are you here? Are you here at the station, or are you at your Unabomber shack with Joe?
I'm living with my house with Joe, right in downtown Fairfax, in our apartment that we share together, a one-bedroom apartment.
What are the sleeping arrangements in that apartment?
Joe gets the bedroom.
Where do you sleep, Charlie?
I sleep out on the patio. You know the balcony?
Yeah.
When it's hot, I sleep out there. Because I sweat really bad, even with the air conditioner on. And Joe says, Charlie, turn down the air conditioner. There's too much bills. There's too much bills. So I say, okay, Joe. And then I actually sit down in the hallway when his brother came.
Oh, Joe's brother. Oh, Joe's brother, who was visiting from Montana, right?
Yeah, Montana boy. I love living with the Ottingers. I really do. We have a good time, Dad. We really, really do.
So what is your job now? I never see you around WJFK anymore. What is your job here now?
I'm doing all sorts of things. Mr. Stevens had me put in brand new bushes.
I saw those bushes outside. They're very phallic, Charlie.
Well, they were straight up in the air, and then he had me twist them around and make them look like curly cues.
Yeah, they're very, very phallic. You know what phallic means?
No.
Sexual?
No, no.
When you look at those bushes, do you ever think of, like,
what?
Your thing?
No! Don't talk about my thing, Dad! Hey, Joe! Yeah, he's talking about my thing again!
Okay, son.
That's Joe. He doesn't want to come on the phone.
He doesn't. Tell Joe I want to talk to him.
No!
Tell Joe I really want to talk to him.
Tell Joe I want to talk to him. He said, okay. He's coming to the phone now.
Hey, ask Joe how his thing is.
Hey, Joe, how's your thing?
What did he say?
Hello? Hello?
Is this Joe Hardinger?
Yeah.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, Don. How you doing?
Are your eyes all squinty right now?
That's Charlie. He's a piece of work.
Ask him how his thing is.
Hey, Charlie, how's your thing? He doesn't want to talk about that. He doesn't talk about his thing. He really doesn't, Don. He hates it when you talk about his thing. He's so funny.
Did you tell him to call in and pretend to be Jeff?
Yeah, that was my idea. It was my idea. I was ironing some t-shirts, and I decided to have him call you and pretend. He pretended he was Jeff from Bodine, and we were just dialing him. I was up here with my brother from Montana. We were laughing our asses off, man. It was so funny. Hey, Charlie! Then we told you, how's your thing? Oh, man. He hates it when you talk about his thing, man.
Put him back on. Good talking to you, Joe.
Yeah, good talking to you, Don. Bye.
You got to talk to Joe.
We're having so much fun. We're having so much fun, Don. It was Joe's idea, okay?
Okay, Charlie.
Nice talking to you, Don.
You too, Charlie.
Say goodbye, Joe. Say goodbye to
Bye.
Joe.
Bye, Joe.
Bye, Don.
Bye, Joe.
Bye, Don.
It's too bad we couldn't talk to Joe's brother.
he was also sitting on the couch.
Well, that's a first. Yeah, that's a first, being able to talk to Joe Hardinger on the show.
I had no idea that Charlie Stewing Stablike was actually now living in Joe's one-bedroom apartment.
Living with the Hardinger boys.
That's right.
I don't think it's an apartment. I think it's like the Ted Kaczynski's Unabomber cabin.
You think it's a cabin? You know, yeah. Maybe it is a cabin.
Pretty sure it is.
Dirt floor.
No modern conveniences at all.
But they're so happy.
Oh, they sure are.
Really happy. It's nice to see Charlie really happy for a change. Really, I've never seen him happier. I really haven't.
Let's take a phone call.
Okay.
And then we'll get to Bob Dole's urologist. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Oh, what did I do? Was that me or them? Hello.
Nothing you can say could keep me away from being Mike Guy. Woo! Mike Guy. You know that I'm a little afraid.
Is this guy in your team?
I can't complain about Mike Guy. Mike Guy.
I think this is your bathroom guy. Listen to the acoustics.
Yeah, you're right.
This is your star player.
I think so.
Yeah, it's your guy.
I'm Mark.
This is your Troy Aikman, Mike.
It's my starting QB. That's my guy.
That's
yeah,
your guy. Signature.
Started out with a little more of a falsetto than last time.
Who's your guy? Number one draft pick. Hello, Don, my show.
Oops.
Hello.
This is a dumb show, ladies and gentlemen.
You are the bagel, and you are the big fat Chiba.
I don't know, everybody's singing now.
What is going on?
I don't know. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, this is Sam Huff.
They're all calling now.
Hi, Sam.
How you doing, Don?
Hey, everybody, it's Hall of Fame football player Sam Huff.
The greatest linebacker in the NFL.
Oh, fantastic. Hi, Sam. How you been, Sam?
Oh, I've been great. How about you guys?
Just fine. Sam, you hear about that truck that turned over on the Beltway yesterday with 40 pounds of gunpowder?
Yeah, I heard there was a baby born in that thing. I tell you what, that's sure a great pass that lady made to her husband.
Yeah, did you hear that? Really, a lady had a baby in that 20-mile backup yesterday. What about that truck, Sam?
Guess it came up on the short end of the stick.
Yeah, he doesn't hesitate anymore. We trained him okay.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. And every time we take calls, it ends up being like a theme. We can't just take calls. It's got to be everybody sings.
People are dying to entertain us.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello?
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 How are you?
All right, let's talk to this guy. Hello, Mike?
Hello.
Is Mike at Spokane?
Yeah.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Hi. You're on the air, duh.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike. Mike, you having trouble with your phone?
This is Mike in Spokane. I was in the service, and when I was overseas, there was this young lady. She would go up on stage, and she would place a dart, or a dart in a straw, and then she would place it down in her private area, and she would blow it across the room or the bar.
So you mean she would fire a dart out of her nest?
Yeah. And before she'd do that, though, she'd go in the audience and have guys hold up balloons.
Mm-hmm.
And she would shoot about 10, 15 feet.
Well, pop the balloons? Pop the balloons, yeah.
Well, I think it's really nice of you to call with your one good eye.
Thank you.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, yo. What's up, Don? What's up, Mike?
Hey.
It's Philly, man.
Hey, Philly.
What's up?
Philly, keeping it real.
Yeah, dog. Hey, I was just traveling around, and I just wanted to call y'all. Hey, guess what I just saw?
What, Phil?
That Something About Mary.
You just saw that movie just now? A little late on that, Phil.
Frank and Beans, Joe. Hey, I tried to get into y'all, right? But, lines kept being busy.
Right.
I was like this. Man, this is what they was talking about, the Frank and Beans.
Phil, it took you an awful long time to see that movie, but it was worth it, right?
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I grab mine every time now. I make sure I'm looking at mine before I zip in a mother.
You know, there's no brothers, though, in Something About Mary.
Yeah, there's the father of Mary.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's great.
The guy with a big afro. Right.
I'm just effing with you.
What killed me was when he was inviting everybody to come into the, man, honey, you got his Marky Post?
Yeah.
Invite her, and then she comes in. Oh, Jesus Christ, mother of H.
Yeah, and then the fireman comes in. I mean, that was a great scene.
No, but why the policeman say, okay, boy, this is not going to hurt a minute. Just one, two, three. Oh, man.
You know what? Well, I finally figured out that Philly sounds like.
Who's that?
Sounds like Tone Loc.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Wild Thing.
Yeah, man, Funky Cole Medina. He's
Funky
in that movie.
Cole Medina.
You ever seen the movie Lost in Space?
Mm-hmm.
It's got the guy who's the dummy on Friends.
Right.
And he's like a fighter pilot.
He's an Ace Ventura, too.
And right.
Yeah, right at the beginning of the movie, he and the guy from Friends are floating around in space in these like big bubbles. And they get shot down, and the guy from Friends saves Tone Loc.
Let's do it.
Yeah, and he says, "Hey, Don, I'm in some trouble over here.
We need some more Tone Loc music. I like Tone Loc.
Man, I fell asleep on that Lost in Space, but I kind of know what you're talking about. You know what I'm saying? And I've been trying to make you remember the last show y'all had, the live show?
Yeah.
That was out here in Maryland, Virginia somewhere, and
yeah.
I had to cancel it or something.
Yeah.
Man, I was on my way out that jump, man. All of a sudden, man, they heard me like that, and I said, what?
Talk white, please.
We know we're having trouble understanding you.
Well, I was on my way trying to make it out there to you and rendezvous with you, sure to speak, and I got distracted on the way when you, man, you know what I'm saying? I got out that joint and then I was like,
he was talking to you for a little bit. How did you not make it to the show, Phil?
Because y'all had to cancel it. They told me, they said, we are not going to have that out here today. What, you know, the show y'all was going to have. So
I'm
on my way. I had to make a U-turn.
I don't know. What show is that? Well, we haven't had to cancel the show, Phil.
Y'all had a show out here in Marlins. Oh, no. I meant the outside thing that y'all had outside the studio.
Oh, you mean with the mud jump?
Yeah, the mud jump.
Okay, now I understand. All right, finally, the great communicator.
Okay.
I tried to make it out there, and you canceled on me, buddy.
Christ. You know, the authorities wanted to shut us down. Phil, we got to go. Keep it real.
Yeah, y'all keep it real up in the field, all right?
Okay, keep it real.
Peace.
Hey, yo.
Yo. I'm out.
Out. He's out like Cliff Stout.
That's Phil Lee.
Yo. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Now give me that piece of paper, man. Let's see what I'm supposed to do next here. Nope. Says you, Elvis, we're talking about Christmas song.
Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas.
Hey, Christmas.
Okay. Yeah, that's Southern for Christmas.
They can't fit all their junk in a G-string. Don and Mike.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello, Don and Mike, Radio God.
Hey, buddy.
Listen, I love your show. You're the greatest.
Thank you.
Real quick question, I'll hang up and listen for your answer.
Oh, come on, don't say that. Don't say that. We hate it when people say that. Don't say that, then I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
You know what happened to Lewis on Friday?
Yeah, he got in some trouble.
But we didn't find, we don't get any...
Frankly, we had a conversation with Lewis today. It sounds to me like he's being railroaded here. But
I don't know what the details are, but it just sounds like things were a little excessive for old Lewis, and I don't understand exactly why.
We don't have all the details. All that we know is that when we started the show on Friday, these guys, not police officers, they work like for the Liquor Control Board, these guys came down and put him in handcuffs and put him in the back of a car and took him off to jail.
So Lewis went through that, and he came back before the end of the show, actually, on Friday. So everything's fine, and we'll let you know how everything turns out.
Right, okay. Frankly, we don't know a lot of the details.
Love your show, Radio God. Thank
right.
you, sir.
Thank you, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Has something to do with that Las Vegas style show we did, though.
Yes, it does.
Damn, those shows are good.
I just want to say one thing. It, the way that Lewis was, and I'm not the biggest Lewis fan in the world.
Shocker.
The way Lewis was handled, you would have thought that he, killed somebody or something like that. It was just
right.
a little silly. Sounded like a story from another country, perhaps.
Yeah, we totally don't understand. It sounded like it could have been from China or something.
Right.
Oh, and listen, about the Chinese people.
Uh-huh.
First off, I don't buy this crap with them.
Put your red, white, and blue hat on.
No. I'm going to tell you, I'm thinking about this all weekend.
Yes.
I don't buy this crap that they're protesting, okay? They're bussing in these protesters.
In China?
To come and protest about this.
You bet they are.
Right? And frankly, the last time that they had a protest in China, it was that little thing called Tiananmen Square where
exactly.
they just started killing people.
No. Everything you see is completely sanctioned by the Chinese government.
Right. I just want to say, once and for all, F China.
Yeah.
They don't even make good stuff there.
No.
Whenever I get something that says made in China, I know it's a piece of crap. And frankly, why are we apologizing? Why are we apologizing? 3 dead chinks in the big picture means nothing. It means zero. You know what that is, Mike? Collateral damage. That's what that is. Maybe you could have sent us a new map to tell us where your embassy is.
Well, I think that those demonstrations that you see where they're getting almost, over the fence there, you'll notice that the police don't really do anything when they're throwing those Molotov cocktails. That's because in China, the way I understand it, if they don't want you to protest, you're not going to protest.
Right, like Tiananmen Square.
So they're going to let it go as far as they want.
And really, I read that they're seriously bussing in these protesters, trying to get people all worked up about this.
It's staged.
Oh, please. That's such a pisser.
It's amazing. It really is.
Such a pisser. And frankly, I don't want us apologizing anymore.
You know what I hate about it?
Listen, we said we're sorry. That's it. Let's move on to the war.
What I hate about it really is that it does take away from, from everything else. And, the reason we're over there and all that. And it's just, it sucks. It sucks that it happened because they're able to seize this as a PR thing, and Milosevic is able to do that. And just that's the big drag of the whole thing. And now, now there's not a focus on what he's been doing that led up to that, which is the real problem that people should be focusing on.
Listen, all you Chinese people, TS, okay? Deal with it. Now, you know what I mean. Tough S word.
Of course.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, man, you guys rock the Casbar.
Right on.
Look, man, first off, you're right, F the Chinese. This thing about George Lucas, how you guys keep going off on him about being like a control freak.
Oh, and he is. Please, total control freak. And I'm so glad to read in the newspaper today that, again, all these screenings they're having, people say the movie sucks.
That's right. People say that it's not really character-driven in any way, and it's just a bunch of lousy special effects.
Bad
reviews in Newsweek, the New York Daily News, and another publication.
Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah, but look, man, think about it. He has to be a control freak because, if you didn't limit the number of, pre-sale tickets that people could buy, all those freaks who were, waiting outside Toys R Us until midnight, they get, four or five of them together and buy out, a whole theater.
What is this, a Lucas lover we got here?
So very
sad. No, I'm not a Lucas lover. I'm just, the kids and people that want to go see the movie who are just going to see a movie.
You are a baby bird in a nest with your mouth open and George Lucas is puking his food into your esophagus.
Yeah, listen to what Mike's saying to you right now, Anaconda. Listen
to this, baby bird. You are so foolish to do this. You are so foolish to take the regurgitated vomitosis little food that George Lucas spews out of his mouth that he has already chewed.
I'm thinking about it. You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking this is a movie that if people want to go and buy 500 goddamn tickets to, they should be able to.
Mm-hmm. But then, like, three or four dorks will get together and buy out all the theaters so they could see it by themselves.
So what? So what is this?
So what, then I'd be stuck out, you know, not able to see.
Aha! Aha!
Do you know how many things are more important than this baby bird? Do you know how many things are more important than this silly George Lucas film that really means nothing? And in 1 month's time, I will tell you, people will forget about these Star Wars.
And listen, once the movie gets out there and people realize how bad it is, don't worry. You're going to have plenty of opportunity to buy your tickets for this movie.
All right. You'll be able to, I'm guessing you're probably one of the proud 4%. You'll be able to roll in to a Wednesday matinee and, you know, enjoy sitting there in the empty theater.
And frankly, he's pulled a colossal boner by... Well, I mean that, Mike. I mean that like in the 50s way. He's pulled a big boner.
Sometimes it makes me laugh when you punch it out that way.
A colossal boner by... hyping it and then coming out and saying, hey, I'm not trying to hype it. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to keep the hype down to a minimum. Because frankly, I get the feeling, I'm a pretty good gauge of this, I think. I think that the right time to release that movie was about a week, maybe 10 days ago. Because now you're starting to get people burning on the hype.
Absolutely.
And you still got 2 weeks to go until this movie comes out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. That's a mistake.
I think you're right.
Huge mistake for your hero, George Lucas.
And I'm like, well, whatever, man. And you're right about the Chinese. We should nuke them. We should also nuke the French.
Right. We should strap George Lucas to a missile. Send him over there. There you go, Chinese. Take George Lucas.
Who was that gray haired guy with a beard?
Hello, Donna Mike.
Donna Mike, baby.
Baby.
I'm going to totally change the subject on you, but did you watch Tom Green?
Nope.
Oh, my God. God and baby Jesus. It was hilarious. He was dragging dead animals off the side of the road back into traffic.
All right, thank you.
What an endorsement for the show.
Thank you. Hello, Donna Mike Show. That's a funny show normally.
Donna Mike, how you doing?
Hello.
This is Big Daddy.
Hey, Big Daddy.
Engine Company 35 Rules.
Okay.
Now, is that...
firefighter gang again.
It's the firefighter gang?
Yeah.
Bunch of guys in yellow raincoats with the big floppy boots.
Troublemakers.
And a Dalmatian. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, this is Don and Mike.
Yeah, I know. You know, it's times like this that I wish we had Charles Barkley be our spokesman at the Pentagon. He could have just told the Chinese, you know, to try to make a controversy in the Rizlan, so after you and your family just get on with the war.
Right, okay, thank you, sir.
You know, it is, if you take it a little further, an interesting concept that all the spokespersons for, like, the president and the State Department, mm-hmm. that all those people were hired based on their ability to be rude and gruff. I think that might be interesting.
Yeah.
You know, say, I'm not going to answer that question. F you, get him out of here.
Dynamite Show, hello.
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 Hey, Dynamite.
Yeah.
What happened to your Tampa station, buddy?
I've
been blown off the air by some sports talk crap. Did Dog Channel, Clear Channel blow you guys out or what?
No, you know the problem is? The problem is that you people in Tampa never supported any of the shows that we have. I've now totally changed my tactic. It's been a week, and I'm frankly tired of taking these calls from Tampa Bay. You know, if you guys had filled out your ratings diaries, perhaps all of the shows on that station would not have been so easily canned. I'm going to put it back on Tampa Bay, and furthermore, I'm going to say that to all of our cities.
Bully!
That if you like hearing this show,
Bully!
In the 61 cities that we're still broadcasting to, and you want to ensure that this show is there, and you want to ensure this way of life, well, I want to tell you right now that radio station management is a clear and present danger.
That is correct.
To the lifeblood of this show, and the only way to keep this show on the air is to keep the ratings high.
Hear, hear, so listen. Tell your friends to listen.
That's right. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, how are you today?
I mean, hi, listen, frankly, that is a pisser. It's like we're on for Tampa Bay for 4 years, and we discussed last year how our show and some other shows just got canceled by the station when they changed the format. Mm-hmm. You know, that happens.
Mm-hmm.
But really one of the reasons that it was able to happen so easily
mm-hmm.
is because, frankly, and I'm being honest with you, we had no ratings there.
No, the ratings were lousy in Tampa, and then when we got canceled in Tampa, we couldn't believe the phones. The phones were melting the first day. It just, and we really said to all these people, where were you?
Right.
You know, where were you when we did our little phone booth games? Where were you, folks?
I mean, it's much easier to get a new station in a market that we've been canceled than if we've got some ratings, but... Frankly, we didn't even pull a one share in Tampa Bay.
Tampa was always a problem place.
That's kind of embarrassing, man.
Right.
And it's been a week now, and frankly, you know, this show, now as it exists now, is simply for those who can hear it.
That's it.
I'm sorry, we're in a war. You know, much like we are with Yugoslavia, this is a war.
That's right.
And frankly, Tampa is dead now, and we must simply move on.
And so when one of the Tampa guerrillas, you know, calls the show, we will throw it immediately, you know, throw the mortar immediately back in their own laps.
Right. We have to protect protect Rochester.
Mm-hmm.
We have to protect Vegas, mm-hmm. Sacramento, Portland, Bakersfield, Mobile,
Hagerstown. We're protecting them so much we're even going up there this week.
Right. These are the cities that matter to us.
That's correct.
The cities that respond to us.
Mm-hmm.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hey. Hello there. Hi.
Hey, Mike, what fraternity are you in?
Well, I didn't hear that. What?
What college fraternity are you in?
Well, I never was really in a fraternity. They made me an honorary member of Sigma Phi Epsilon.
Okay, no, I was just curious. Somebody said you were Sig Ep, but sometimes we're called Sig Ep.
Yeah, I'm a Sig Ep. What's your fraternity that's called Sig? Because I thought only Sigma Phi...
Sigma Alpha Epsilon.
Oh, Sigma Alpha Epsilon.
I thought you were in the cigarette, Mike.
Sigma... Hey, I was in Smegma Cigarette.
Hey, what I wanted to call you about...
Yes.
You know, my father-in-law... He was trying to exit China yesterday. They won't let him out.
They won't let him out of China?
No, because he's on an American passport. They detained him.
That's too bad, man.
Yeah, so wait a minute. They took him to the police station, the local police station?
That's why I advocate never leaving America.
I agree.
I mean that. We've got it so great here. Why would you need to go anywhere else? You want Chinese food?
Hell.
Go down the street. There's a great Chinese restaurant right down Route 29 here. You get fantastic sweet and sour pork.
I just wish America would wise up and, you know, go firmly, adopt your isolationist policies where, you know, the Great Wall of China would be nothing compared to what you would do along the perimeter of the United States.
This is the greatest nation in the world. Why do people feel the need to go somewhere else?
One of his most brilliant concepts was to take the United States, circle it in how high did you want to make
isolate us, Mike? 60 feet high.
60 feet wall.
60 feet tall. High.
And you know what you do? You sell advertising space on the wall.
Brilliant. Right.
Yeah.
You do it like the outfield at Yankee Stadium.
That's right. And you eliminate taxes that way.
This portion of California is brought to you by Fuddruckers.
So a few people lose a view.
Okay. Right. Well, too bad. That's our way of life.
That's right.
If you don't like it, go somewhere else. You don't have a big 60-foot wall saving you from the other hideous people on this planet.
And if you pay enough money, you can build your house on the other side of the wall and you get a door. Get your own door.
Well, that's not my idea.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just trying to be too nice.
That's Mike's idea.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm always looking for that little edge.
As far as I'm concerned, with the wall's up, wall's up. No doors in that wall. No doors.
60 feet high.
Just broken glass.
Yeah, so you miss a few sunsets.
Sunsets are overrated. I'll give you a nice video cassette of a sunset.
Won't the special people get to walk along the top of the wall occasionally?
Well, except that I just mentioned you have broken glass and barbed wire up there.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
No need to ever leave America.
It's going to be a very isolated, dingy, dark place.
But I think you'll find it'll be a better country. Eventually, everybody will speak the language.
Mm-hmm.
Just one language, American.
And as far as the sunsets, that's what TVs are for.
Right.
Ah.
Yeah. Please. You know, let's be honest. We see a sunset. Like maybe 1 out of 100 is special, like with the purple and orange colors and everything.
But if you go into a mountain that's, you know, in the inner United States, you can still see the nice little sunset.
I think the only people that wouldn't be able to see sunsets are the people that are, you know, within a couple miles of the wall.
That's right. Those people will suffer.
The wall.
For the greater good, though.
Right. Yes, Robbie.
And if you miss out on a sunset, you're guaranteed going to get a sunrise and vice versa, because they happen on other sides. So you're always going to get one.
Well, you're right, Rob. You're absolutely right about it. I'm going to put you in my cabinet, Rob. That's a beautiful idea.
Right. Congratulations. You're a member of the kitchen cabinet.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, my goodness. We got to do a break. Hello. You're the last call. Hello.
Oh, how wonderful. I just wanted to call and thank all the beautiful people who call your show because they're apparently really stupid and they make me feel really good about myself.
Oh, wonderful.
No.
Yeah. I know. Unfortunately, I haven't had anyone from the Carolinas call in, and they're usually the best people to make me really feel special.
Yeah.
Okay. So you feel special?
I feel a little special. I feel kind of moist.
Do you really feel moist? Where are you calling from?
From the wonderful state of California, soon to have no sunsets.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the celebrity you think you most resemble? I got a vibe already. My vibe says Janine Garofalo.
My vibe says, may I ask you a question?
You know, granted, I might be bitchy, but I'm not a brunette.
Are you, by any chance, a lesbian?
No, unfortunately I'm not.
Unfortunately? Mm.
She just may not have discovered that yet, Mike.
That's right.
Are you standing, sitting, or laying down right now?
I'm sitting in front of a computer terminal currently.
And that celebrity you most resemble that you were thinking about?
Oh, I don't know. I've been told Gwyneth Paltrow.
Gwyneth Paltrow?
Gwyneth Paltrow. Mm. Ugh, she doesn't do it for me.
Oh.
She really doesn't.
Me neither.
Freaking skinny bird.
Hey, well, at least I don't look like Drew Barrymore.
At least what?
I said at least I don't look like Drew Barrymore.
That's true.
I would do Drew Barrymore before I did Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh, Gwyneth Paltrow before Drew Barrymore.
Really?
Oh, blasphemy!
I would.
She's only got the fish hook in her mouth.
I would. I'm telling you.
Really?
I'd do Drew Barrymore before Gwyneth Paltrow.
You've succumbed to public pressure.
No, I haven't.
You have succumbed to public pressure.
I have not. Drew Barrymore is still a dirty, unwashed girl.
Mm-hmm. You would take her
over Gwyneth Paltrow?
Her to your bed before Gwyneth Paltrow?
Yes. Swear to God.
But Don, you're telling me that you like skanky soap.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
okay, all right.
Oh, my.
All right.
Excuse me?
Goodbye. Goodbye. Yeah, like Gwyneth Paltrow's is not stinky. Please. They're all stinky, honey. You know, unless you buy your yum-yum
douche.
Oh, is that some yum-yum douche?
Yeah, just a little bottle of strawberry fresh.
I think that was simply a demonstration of how I don't find Gwyneth Paltrow attractive rather than an endorsement of how I do find Drew Barrymore attractive.
Understood. Understood.
Okay?
Drew Barrymore still just gives me the creeps.
You could throw out other women as compared to Gwyneth Paltrow.
Let me see. I'll throw a perfect example. Julia Roberts. Before Drew Barrymore?
I do. Oh, before Drew Barrymore?
Mm.
So I don't like Julia Roberts.
I know. That's why I threw that one out, but I was curious where she would line up.
I probably did. Do Drew Barrymore first?
Oh, my goodness.
Probably would.
Wow. Janine Garofalo. Or Drew Barrymore. They're all measured against Drew Barrymore. Would you sleep with Drew Barrymore?
Janine Garofalo.
You do her first?
Yeah.
That's what I would, too.
Definitely.
Before Drew Barrymore, absolutely.
But Gwyneth Paltrow would be very low on that list. I would do Julia Roberts before I would do Gwyneth Paltrow.
I didn't know that you felt that way about Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah, I don't like her.
But Anne Heche, another thin woman, is way up there.
Yeah, but Anne Heche.
Oh,
baby. Yeah, now I do her.
How about Kate Blanchett? Or Kate Blanchett, the lady from Elizabeth who's been all over, like, the magazines lately.
Her or Paltrow?
Ugh.
Blanchett.
Me too.
Yeah, I guess so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, although she's like Winona Ryder. You know what I mean? They're so skinny, they're so emaciated.
I like Winona Ryder.
Not me.
How about Blanchett before Barrymore?
Nope.
You do Barrymore first?
Yep.
Good. It's all coming together.
Yep, I would.
You got a Barrymore Jones.
No, I don't. No, I don't, Mike.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Rob, this is Liam Jean. Would you and your two buddies from the Crybaby Hall of Fame please destroy my phone number? I'm kind of serious about this, you know. I can take it, but I can also dish it out. Like, if I hear from you guys again, I'm liable to go to the president of WJFK and file a complaint against you. You don't want that for a Christmas present, right? Have a nice day, turkey.
Merry fucking Christmas from the Don and Mike Show.
Not of all the reindeers, you know you're the mastermind.
Ben Peterson, who is the custodial engineer here,
yes,
told us that on occasion he has gone into the men's room and seen a time when someone took a crap off a cake.
Of a cake on the floor. And he actually brought people down to see it, you know, to see what he was dealing with.
I don't think it was him.
I know. A large puddle appeared on the floor in front of the urinal after we talked about the bathrooms yesterday. It's like somebody went in there to make their own lake after we talked.
Really?
Yes.
Really? Where's Ben? Would you see if you could find Ben, please, brains?
I think Ben might be having, I'm not sure, because Ben has the greatest disposition of anybody in the building.
He does.
But I have the slight inclination he may be having a tough day. They may be,
Well, and that was not That was not what we intended.
No, not for millionaires, because Ben's one of our favorite people.
Yeah, Ben's one of the few people here that we really consider to be a friend.
Yeah, and it just, you know, he was kind of laughing about it.
He was in the line of fire today. I think that what happened is we talked about the crappy, no pun intended, situation in the bathroom, and then the guys that run the building called Ben in and started yelling at him about it.
He's left the building.
Oh.
And I don't know if this is related to it or not, but when I drove in at about 1 o'clock, Ben was just sitting in his truck. Down in the parking lot.
I think he always sits down in his truck, though, like has a cigarette
lunch
or something.
Break. And he was happy when we saw him. He was with one of the owners of the building, and he was very cool about everything.
Yeah,
I mean,
okay.
You know, everything was cool, and it was just like...
I just wanted to find out about the time that he really saw a big pile of crap in the bathroom.
As Ben said, it was the size of a cake.
Wow. Size of a cake! All right, hold on now. Says on my computer that he's in Tammy's office. What's Tammy's phone number?
464... I think?
I don't think so.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the brains of the show. 462.
I don't have my script with me. Sorry, Mike.
That's okay, Brains.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Tammy. Is Ben up there?
No, he's not here. He hasn't been in here today.
Oh, crap. Okay, thanks, Tammy.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
No, all I know is he seemed okay when we saw him. I don't want, you know, the last thing we want to have happen is have him catch any heat, because he's not solely responsible for all this stuff around here.
He's not responsible, but let's... You know, and I don't want Ben to get in trouble either, but let's be honest. I mean, there have been times...
He's the guy that does it, right?
There have been times, that we've gone in there. There have been, like, dried boogers on the wall, and they've been in there for more than one day. I mean,
I think, it's equipment also. I mean, along with, like, telling him what to do, I'd like to see him get a power washer in there. That is seriously a bathroom where a power washer would work wonders.
Well, one guy can't do it by himself, and I think we have a cleaning service also.
Oh, they suck, Buzz. The cleaning service sucks.
There you go. Do they have a drain, like, in the middle of that bathroom? Do they have a drain?
No, it's not like a shower.
So you can hose the whole thing
down? I don't think so.
Damn.
It's just, you walk in there.
Bleach, though. A lot of bleach required.
And everything that comes out of your body is either on the wall or on the floor in that bathroom.
And then just, you know, if it's on there.
And imagine all the things we can't see. Like if we had an infrared camera, we'd go in there and see, like, the geese and stuff like that. There's tons of stuff in that bathroom.
Yeah. So I hope that, I hope everything seemed to me to be a bit... under control, also, that they'd gotten kind of the message, but it was also, everything was okay. I didn't detect any anger from anybody.
I'd like to have somebody monitor the bathroom to see the next time that there's either a booger on the wall or a crap on the floor or the sea of urine. I know I've walked in there a couple times with Buzz. We walked in there because, you know, we all have to go to the bathroom at the same time since we can only go during the commercials.
Right.
I walked in there with Buzz, and we have both stopped in front of the urinal and seen what appears to be, I am not lying, just a lake of urine on the ground next to the urinal. How tough is it to pee into the urinal?
There is a reason also, I mean, for all the stuff that's in there. We were talking about this yesterday, why certain businesses will say, you know, for customers and employees only, you know. Why? Because we really have a facility. Maybe it's its location. It's just convenient for
somebody. It's right out the lobby, like when everybody from listeners, when they come in to pick up their prizes, to when you have a guest on the show and they have their hangers-on out there, to, like, as we mentioned, the much maligned UPS guy who were pretty sure is at the bottom of a lot of this. The UPS guy. Yeah, you know, the UPS guy that looks like Hank Kingsley. He's the guy.
Like, there are three or four UPS guys that pop in here. The guy that washes his hands that I told you about, he is not the Hank Kingsley lookalike. Because, they, you know, that guy also comes here on a regular basis.
Right.
But who knows? I mean,
there's all kinds of delivery men and stuff that come in. And there's the guys, hold on.
Right.
What about the guys that are constantly working on the air conditioning in this building?
Sure.
I mean, how many days do you come here and you see that big refrigeration truck outside?
Absolutely, every day.
And they seem like nice enough guys.
And the weekend, you know, we don't even know what goes on here on the weekend.
Well, but I can only talk about the things that are fresh. And Buzz said that he saw the new pond of urine just yesterday.
Right, that's after we talked. Like somebody maybe did it on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my.
Real, like, puddle?
Yes. Oh, huge. You've never been in there and seen that?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it, but I mean, I didn't see the one yesterday that you're talking about.
Had to be intentional. Too big to be an accident.
Oh, my God. A puddle. Like somebody really just went on the floor.
Exactly.
Oh, God.
How could you do that? Would you be afraid that someone would, like, catch you if you're standing there peeing on the floor? Right?
Yeah, really. I mean, it's ludicrous.
Unless it's a two-person job. Unless there's somebody that watches the door and somebody that does the deed.
during the day? Could it be that elaborate a hoax?
Oh, well, look at the sales guys.
I mean, could it be that kind of scam where it's like, all right, stand by the door. I'm going to go in there and it's like, la da da dee da da da.
I don't think that we should eliminate the salespeople.
No.
From our inquisition in
not at all. The salespeople, really. I mean, if you took the salespeople out of the equation. I mean, it's ridiculous. I'm just saying hypothetically here. If you took the sales guys and said to the sales guys, you know, you're not allowed to use the bathroom. I think the problem would be completely eliminated. You couldn't do that. I understand you couldn't do that. Thank you, Rob.
Why couldn't you do that?
I don't know, Don, but it's just...
Why couldn't you put a sign on the door that just said, no sales guys allowed? Or how about you just put a sign on the door that says, Jeff Schrinsky cannot go to the bathroom here. He's my number one suspect.
Yes.
The violently insane Jeff Schrinsky.
Absolutely. Well, man, it's but it seems to me that the powers that be that control this building from a custodial standpoint are taking matters seriously, very, very seriously. And that
I'd love to know who crapped on the floor, though. I'd love to know.
I'd love to know, like, when it happened. You know, what were the circumstances? Who had been in there? Ben has suspects. I know that Ben definitely has suspects.
Ben, and I don't want to say this person's name, but the first suspect that Ben mentioned to you and I,
right,
is a guy who I don't think has anything to do with that. I mean, he is an animal,
right?
But I don't think that has anything to do with that.
This is someone. It sounds to me, the way Ben described it, this is not an accident. This is not something that... Right. This is somebody.
How do you miss the toilet when you're going number two?
The size of a cake. This is somebody who squatted, like, in the middle of the floor to make some kind of evil statement.
A protest, perhaps.
John, this was no boating accident. Could that have happened during the business day? Someone going in there squatting?
If there's a two-person team, yes.
Oh!
Absolutely.
God!
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Sick.
Hello.
Don and Mike.
Find Ben. Somebody call Ben at home. Right. I'd like to find out about the crap on the floor.
That's really...
That bothers me a lot
true.
More than the boogers on the wall or the pond of urine by the urinal.
Right. But I'm glad after all our ranting and raving that he's left for the day.
Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi there.
Hey, buddy.
Hi.
Hey, did you happen to catch Channel 13 News here in Baltimore today?
Was it about the braces?
Nah, Marty Bass interviewing Kathy C.
there's a meeting of the minds.
Hello, Marty, Kathy C. How are you?
Marty Bass with Kathy C. Gifford.
I've got to tell you, I've admired you from afar for such a long time. Where are you going? Are you going down to Florida?
Hi, folks. It's Marty Bass. I'm here today with TV's Kathy Lee Gifford.
Today on Catching Bass.
Did Marty mention our names?
No mention of Don and Mike.
All right, goodbye.
Bummer.
Goodbye.
The only way it would have mattered.
Goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike show. Marty Bass is a friend of ours.
Yes, he is. Yes, he actually appeared on stage with us one time.
Yeah. Hello.
At one of our wildest shows ever.
And Mike. That was a kooky one.
That's right. That was the show that featured the exploding penis.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
Did you get in trouble for blowing boogers on the wall in your recreation room a couple years ago?
Oh, that's at home, and that's when I'm on the treadmill, sir.
So you wouldn't be, like, secretly doing that at the office?
No. Okay. Listen, please, come on. I've got to say that I would only blow boogers on, and I didn't even know that the boogers would be blown on the wall at home.
Anybody that's been on an exercise machine and has suffered from an upper respiratory disturbance,
you just got to let it go.
Occasionally, you really,
you know what I mean?
You, it's like anything. When you're on a machine,
you're in the middle of a run.
You don't want to stop.
You don't want to stop. Right. You think I only got a half mile to go. You know you got a big crunchy in your nose. You just do that thing like the football players do. You put one finger over one nostril and the off to the side. And I thought that they were all just like falling behind me until my wife went to clean down there one day and said, "You would not."
With the fan in front of you, so it blows them behind you.
Yes, and you would not believe the collection of spooge back there.
Oh, God.
No, definitely don't do that.
Okay, bye-bye.
Not here. I just do that at home.
That's good.
Just at home.
And I'd like to say that no matter, you know, hey, picking out, get it? Picking out the culprit for all of this stuff, the puddle, the stuff on the wall, that is not the point. I mean, you know, you're going to get people that are doing it. What the point really is just getting this room, like, cleaned on a regular basis.
Oh, I'd like to know who it is.
I'd like to know who it is, but I'd also really, I'd love to have that place spick and span every week.
Ben has been paged.
Okay.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, you know what that move with the nose is? It's called the farmer's handkerchief.
Right. No, it's the farmer's knot.
Farmer's knot.
Oh, okay.
Farmer's knot. Right. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I called a little earlier to talk to Lisa. I'm the guy with the Marine. Did she say anything to you?
You mean Lisa, the phone lady?
Yeah.
No, I'll tell you something about Lisa. Very upset at her today. She's not wearing a bikini, as she promised she would yesterday. She's wearing, if possible, she's wearing more clothes than she's worn in any other day that she's worked for.
Wearing more clothing than she was yesterday.
True.
Well, Lisa, we also love you. Hey, Don. Check it out. I joined the Marines today. You know, it's... Yeah, I need a change in my life. So smart move. The problem...
Enjoy Kosovo, sir.
Well, you know, if that happens...
Get your passport stamped.
That's right.
Hey, I got a problem, though, because I didn't graduate high school. I got a GED.
That's all right, I guess.
Well, yeah, but the problem is the Marines only let 12 of these guys in a year, and all 12 of them are already signed up, but most of them haven't...
Wait. 12 guys? The Marines only let 12 guys in the United States into the Marine Corps with GEDs? That's not right.
I don't think so either, you know, but...
No, I mean, I'm not saying it's not right that the Marines are. You've got it wrong. That's not true.
I just talked to the guy today. I said,
there's no way. Hey, you know what? You know what? Hold on. Maybe they're just trying to let you down easy.
No, I don't think so.
Never think about that?
I'm a pretty physically fit person. I'm a roofer by trade.
If you have the equivalency of a high school diploma, which is what a GED is.
That's what I thought, too, but they're not letting them in now. It's some kind of thing that they changed a few years ago.
Maybe they think you're a fag.
Oh, yeah, right.
Well, I don't know. You know, don't ask, don't tell. Maybe that's like they put a little note on there, homo, and then they say they come up with some kind of excuse to get you to back out. Listen.
That would be a joke.
There he is.
Hold on. You can't drop the F-bomb, sir.
I'm sorry.
Please don't drop the F-bomb.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry that if I slip once or twice, man. I'm a roofer by trade, and we have the worst mouths in history. Sailors shy away from us at a table.
All right, well, listen. Call your recruiting guy back and find out all the details. Then call us back. Then we can talk about it.
Let us know if it's really 12 guys a year or if it's just you.
Mike Johnson. I talked to him today. I was there. I got a million flyers in front of me. He said I'll be the first person to call if there's an opening. See, if one of these guys breaks a leg or gets crippled or comes down with the flu or just a case of the pussy, he's going to be in trouble, you know?
I don't know for sure. It just doesn't sound right to me.
I don't want to offend all the Marines that are listening to the show, and God knows that they do a job that I don't have the balls to do.
Sure. Right?
But I don't think the standards to be a Marine are quite that high. I'm not talking about being one of the fancy Marines. I'm talking about to be like a Gomer Pyle type Marine.
To be an enlisted guy, I think if you have the equivalent of a high school diploma, 12 in the entire country, that doesn't make sense. I mean, they require so many recruits every year. I would think that who knows.
Plus, you know, we're actively looking for the warm bodies to send over to Kosovo.
Hello, Kosovo. Hey, Semper Fi.
Hey, Brains.
Hey, Ben is not sure he wants to come on the air and talk to you guys yet about this situation.
Why?
He just seemed uncomfortable with it. I said,
Ben's never been uncomfortable being on the radio.
But he's
going
to call back in a few minutes if he's going to go on the air with you all. So,
is he uncomfortable about talking about the cake on the floor?
Yes, I mentioned the cake.
All we want to ask him about is when he found the cake on the floor.
I don't think he's going to comment on the cake.
He doesn't want to comment? Has he been told not to comment on the cake?
I don't know. Not by me.
Okay.
But perhaps others have gotten to him.
All right, we'll check with the others' brains.
Okay.
And please find out.
All right.
Thank you. Brains, Spiewak.
We'll get Ben an exemption that he can talk about stuff. You know, that'll be cool.
Yeah. I'd like to know, you know, when did it happen?
Sure. You know what? Was it really the size of a cake? What kind of cake?
Chocolate cake, Mike.
Chocolate bundt cake.
Take chocolate cake, right? Please. Come on. Hello, Donna. Maybe a little German chocolate.
With walnuts.
Yeah, with nuts. Hello, Donna, my show. And sprinkles. Hello.
Hey, cake.
Hello, Dad. Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I work in a bowling center, and I walked into the restroom one day on one of my routine checks to see, make sure all the papers filled.
Yeah.
I'm three guys standing with their backs to the urinals having a peeing for distance contest.
All right, now listen, I just want to say for the record that we've had a urination contest on this show. Urination contest was sanctioned.
Mm-hmm. Sanctioned and also handled in the most sanitary way possible.
And I think that in a bowling alley, you should certainly expect for something like that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It is a bowling alley, for God's sakes.
Bowling center.
Centre. Right, yeah.
Wouldn't the all-time winner, though, be service station restrooms? The worst I have ever seen have been service station. I mean, it's an old stereotype, but it fits because it's absolutely... I walked into one.
Hey, they gave
me
the key that's on like a huge piece of iron.
Or wood.
Yeah,
it has like a wooden block saying RR on it.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, this is Don and Mike.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. yes, sir.
I wanted to back that guy up, that Marine just enlisted. I used to assist a recruiter out when I was in the Marine Corps, and they really don't let people with GEDs in. They might have reopened a certain amount up.
Really, it seems to me that you're losing what could be the backbone of the Marines.
Yeah, I mean, you got a valuable workforce there.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody's got to dig the ditches. Somebody's got, you know, somebody's got to do the dirty work in the Marines.
I mean, you don't have to, you know, get high SAT scores to learn to kill.
Right.
And isn't that the primary mission of the Marines? I mean, you're trained to kill.
Pretty much for the most part, yeah.
Sure. I think if you look through history, some of our all-time best killers have been mentally challenged.
Absolutely. Right. I mean, really, guys that probably didn't do all that well in high school.
Right. You know, Rambo. How smart was Rambo?
Not. Mm-hmm.
Wait, guy's an idiot, please. Rambo.
Rambo.
A Terminator.
He's stupid. He didn't say three words while he was killing all those people.
Right. I just saw Soldier with Kurt Russell. Dumb as a box of rocks.
Quiet guys. Guys that don't talk a lot. Oh, yeah.
Great killing machine, though.
Sure.
Soldier, Kurt Russell.
Absolutely. You know, identify, you know, forget about the GED, identify the potential to be, you know, a killer.
Hello?
Don.
Yes, Don and Mike here.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, man,
buddy.
Hurl them into battle.
Hello?
Hey, you would think the guys with the GEDs would be the first ones to go, whether they sign up or not.
I think it's GED, not GUD.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
They're totally expendable.
Do you have your GUD?
I believe so.
Okay. All right, thank you. Bye-bye. Thank G-O-D you've got your G-U-D. And thank G-O-D that your mom didn't use the I-U-D. Hello. Don and Mike. Show. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Hi.
I was working at a Hardee's about probably 6 years ago, and the manager said, hey, go check out the bathroom. The customers are complaining. I go in there, and I open up the stall, and someone has taken their finger.
Oh, God. Hello. Don and Mike. Show. Hello.
Yes. You had crap on your floor, probably.
Oh, Lord. Who?
Uh-huh. Larry King.
Larry King doesn't work in this building, sir.
He's been here, though.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. He's been on the Liddy Show, hasn't he?
Aye, this will show them. This is the way I tell somebody I don't care for them.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey.
You know that bathroom thing? There's actually a disorder with people that have some sort of fetish with their feces.
Well, I'm sure, you know, there's a disorder for every sick thing that's done in the world.
Right. I just want to know, is Ben going to come on the air with us to talk about this?
Like to know.
Okay, so you crap on the floor in the men's room.
That don't
You know, what always concerns me whenever we have these discussions, you know, there's only one thing that worries me. Copycats.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I can't speak with Don and Mike.
Same problem they have in Littleton, Colorado, Mike.
That's right, copycats. You have to watch out for copycats.
Hello?
Yes. Yeah, I was talking about, or listening to you guys talking about this guy with joining the Marines.
Yeah.
And it depends. I used to be a recruiter for the Army, and it depends on the numbers that the military needs at that time, whether they would take someone with a GED.
Okay. Don't we always need more guys in our military?
So, you know, that's not true. The Volunteer Army has, that's right. I remember a news story a few years back that the Volunteer Army has enough recruits now, right?
Really?
Yes, and they do change their standards as their needs for recruits change.
Ah, right.
That is true.
It was back a few years ago, right after Vietnam, where nobody wanted to go into the Army, right? And they needed
so, like, if we get into a bad war, like as Kosovo escalates, then we'll start taking stupider guys.
More and more, yes.
And I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.